don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. You know the New York Yankees?
Yeah.
You know Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah.
You know somebody named Madonna?
Yeah.
Well, you know what's going on there, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Apparently, videotape of sexual activities. Landmark for baseball, this will be the last sex tape in the old stadium. And apparently, Alex Rodriguez likes videotaping, you know. And here's the weird part. He brought in Mariano Rivera to close.
And now.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I got some great news. The hump in Hump Day turned out to be benign.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Anyway, there's We Are Scientists for you there.
Okay.
After Hours. And then right before them, you heard The Feeling from their new album. Join with us. We heard I Thought It Was Over from The Feeling. Really good. Different.
Different.
Anyway, I thought it was over too with the phones. Let's try one more time with Lisa. Hello, Lisa. No, it's still not working. I could hear that. That weird breathing and stuff. Oh, that's really sad. Should we hold the phone up to the mic, maybe?
Yes.
Well, anyway, we don't have Lisa, but I do have some of the songs that are on the charts. So I'll read off the songs.
I love it when you read.
Let's see. We got number one, we got the Ting Tings. That's not my name. And then we got Duffy doing Warwick Avenue.
Tell us more.
And Cold Kids. And we got Fall Out Boy. And we've got Mystery Jets, Feeder, new one from Feeder I'll be playing, and then Duffy, and then Mercy, and then the Fortellis.
How about just play
and
one?
And We Are Scientists, again, doing Chiclet.
Anyway,
let's hear the number one song in England from Ting Tings, That's Not My Name, courtesy of Lisa with London Calling.
Who's on the phone,
we're
clearly.
Still here.
But Rodney can't figure out how to get her voice on the air.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
He's the best. Still hear that weird breathing.
Not to pile on, but that's better than Winnie Connects.
that's not your favorite segment of the Rodney Show.
Well, it runs typically about 14 to 18 minutes. And he's not good at conversation. Like, she'll say something, and then she'll pause for him to say something. He won't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll interrupt when she's not ready for him to, and then she'll have to stop and say what, and then he'll have to repeat it, and it goes that way for ever.
Is it the delay from England? Is that the problem?
Could be. I don't know. I'm just telling you that was twice as good as when they connect and talk.
That's so sad.
He just sounds just lost. It's just he just doesn't know what to do. You want to help him. You feel like you want to reach through the radio and make him competent, but you can't.
By the way, I think she's calling from like Van Nuys.
Oh,
she
seriously?
Is?
Well, I've run Rodney's board before, and when he has me call her to dial up, it's an 818 number.
Oh.
It's not like a 15-digit number or anything.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So, I mean, maybe just that one weekend I was running the board, but, you know.
Wow.
Because the impression I get, having not heard the show, is that she's in England and she's talking about whatever the hot chart records are over there.
That's usually what happens, yeah.
But that's great stuff.
But we've also been in Rodney's position where we think we have everything pushed and nothing's working, and then we don't know what to do. But it's just happened to us so much more, I guess. Because he has somebody else run his – I think he has somebody else push the controls.
So then the other person can't figure out what's going on?
I guess not. I guess not. I don't know.
You sure heard that weird breathing noise a lot.
Yeah, there was someone there. You could tell. They were on the line. They just couldn't hear him, I think. I don't know.
And I like how he gives the call letters and then says, anyway.
Yeah, he always starts that way.
What is that?
Well, anyways.
King of Mexico.
I know.
Yeah, no
King
kidding.
King of Mexico radio.
By the way, for all the mocking – that's a good playlist. There's a lot of good bands he's playing on that show.
I agree.
Would have been nice if he got around to playing one of them.
Yeah. Also in the vein of King of Mexico, how is it that he can't pronounce any of the band names? Did you notice it? It's the he says the Fortellis and the Koo Kids. He can't say he can't say one band name right. Polyphonic Spree.
That's true.
It sounds like his teeth are loose. You know what I mean? Like they're
like his dentures.
Like he's got dentures and they're not attached at anywhere in his mouth, and he just can't get those words out.
He's nervous. Well, he's on the radio.
Well, yeah,
he's,
but
he's new.
Exactly.
I was going to say, how long do you have to go before you at least can say words? Well, who am I talking about?
As Lisa has said in the past about Rodney Bingenheimer's program, it is nothing if not dynamic.
Anyway, a couple of things that are happening around town for Stephanie's Bees. They're going to be at July the 14th at the Troubadour. Actually, they already played.
Oh.
And then Polyphonic Spree are playing at the El Rey.
Oh, yeah, that's so terrific.
The amazing weenie roast, yay, fiesta.
And Corchella.
Corchella, yeah.
Weenie
roast,
one.
Yay, fiesta.
It's not hard to say these words.
Well,
Feedback from the Sunday Night at Midnight show on the limited edition Rodney Bingenheimer?
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about. It didn't exist.
Maybe they'll be at Corchella next year.
Yes.
That's certainly not what Mike is wearing today.
That thing that doesn't exist?
That's correct.
Nope.
Does not exist.
That's not what's on his chest.
By the way, that's not the...
Whoa, yeah. Let's just stop.
Okay.
Just stop. Okay, but no feedback as far as you
no
know.
No feedback.
In terms of from none. That end of the building.
None.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
It never happened?
Never happened.
All right.
All right, that's our Rodney on the Rock update, so I enjoyed that very much.
We could go on forever with him, couldn't we?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, and it is the 23rd of Do You Like It in the Ass?
Butt sex is wild, and it don't cause no child.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Rodney. On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we have the Survivor Man, Les Stroud.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he's going to be talking about Shark Week.
Shark Week,
which is the
cool.
best.
How did that show get so good? Because Shark
Week's
been on for 20 years.
Every year go, well, now they're out because now there's nothing left to say. And every year they come up with new specials and new interviews with people who've been ripped to shreds by sharks and new experiments. And it is amazing the stuff that they and it's all endlessly fascinating. I don't know what it is about sharks that makes them an animal that you can watch for a week every single year and not get bored.
Yeah, I think it's just the scariness of them.
Definitely.
That's their world. And I saw a shark one time while I was underwater scuba diving out by Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what kind of shark it was, but it was clearly a shark. It was probably 25, 30 feet away. And I just froze and started peeing a little. And then it didn't see me or care and just swam away. I was like, oh, my God. It's just that fear of the you're in their house now.
Yeah, totally.
And by the way, as much as you hear, and you can look at the numbers all you want, as much as you hear how rare shark attacks are, you are still terrified that it's going to happen to you. Because it happens a handful of times a year. I mean, think about the millions of people that are in the water and the millions of sharks that are in the water. It virtually never happens that someone gets bit, but the possibility is always there.
And when they do, it doesn't go well.
Usually.
Shark plus human equals shark is what we've learned mostly.
Although you can poke them in the eyes or punch them in the nose, and that works.
That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. They're not happy about that.
But most kinds of sharks aren't interested in people, right? They're looking for, plankton or fish or something like that that's not you.
Right.
Yes. But every once in a while, someone will...
And this year, by the way, more than most, it seems like. Les will probably tell me I'm wrong, but it seems like this year we've had 10 shark attacks that have made the news.
I hope they're ramping it up. I do. I hope the sharks are talking and going, listen, there's too many people in the water.
Right.
We don't like them putting their poo in here. Let's take them
or
out.
Or pee for that
or
matter.
Or pee, Kevin.
Hey, that was involuntary. Also on today's show, we are going to talk to Kevin Smith, who will be in our studios.
Love him.
One of our favorite guests of all time.
He's the best.
Talking about Comic-Con this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin about everything that's going on in the celeb world, including Christian Bale.
Yeah, see if there's new news.
Courtney it is looking more and more bogus, by the way, the Christian Bale story, isn't it? And I want to ask Harvey, if the same thing had happened in America, would he have been arrested? I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not from the few details I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't get arrested for yelling at someone, can you?
I don't think so.
Spencer Pratt? Heidi?
No.
In Iraq?
We have to talk to him.
In Iraq? Well, that's a good start.
Cheering up the troops.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
With her singing.
God.
Can't wait. And we got to talk about Bean's blog.
Finally.
It's really a new low, if I could be honest. Mm-hmm. A new low.
How dare you?
Couldn't argue with that.
And all week long, we have free tickets for you to go to all kinds of different concerts. We have Jack Johnson tickets. We have Radiohead. We have Warped Tour. We have the Rockin' Tours. We have Beck. We have Nine Inch Nails.
Damn.
And we'll start giving away those tickets in the 6 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat Neck.
As Kevin mentioned moments ago, we are hooking you up with free tickets to all of the hottest K-Rock summer shows. This hour, it was Nine Inch Nails. And Melissa Flores from Los Angeles is going to go see that. Next hour, we got Project Revolution tickets for you. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the show. Bespeak. Good morning, Ralph.
Woo-hoo!
What? Run a little early.
Got tickets. I got tickets to give away.
Oh, you got tickets,
yeah.
Too.
It's
a ticket bonanza.
To a very special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers, the new hilarious comedy starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. You get to see it before anybody else does. The movie opens on Friday. We're doing our screening Thursday night.
Well, that's before it opens for everyone else. Then.
Exactly, sir.
Before the film is in theaters, technically.
Yes.
How do we do it, Ralph?
Illegal prints, illegal copies of the film. So we
Lightning,
do,
no goes more. Out to a parking lot in Acton and buys it from a black dude.
Sadly, listeners must watch it one at a time. We've got just a small portable television set hooked up to a VCR in the back of one of our K-Rock vans. But still, you get to see it before anybody
exactly.
else.
You can watch about a half hour, but you can't watch the whole thing.
No, it's going to be at the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood. You can't ask for a more posh situation to watch a film in.
Nice.
Damn, Gina.
So if you'd like to go, I've got a pair of tickets right now to give away to caller number 12.
12.
Caller number 12. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. If you're caller number 12, bum, you get the tickets.
You can see
just that easy.
Step Brothers before your friends, and then you can call them Thursday night and go, Two-Face dies! And they'll go, oh!
You burned me. I don't think Two-Face is in Step Brothers.
Sorry.
Finally, Bean will stop talking about having sex with Estelle Getty from the Golden Girls.
Not until they bury her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yay!
She was the one who played the...
She was a hot one.
The oldest one on the show. And that's saying something on the Golden Girls.
Yep.
This was a show that was old women 30 years ago.
Three old women.
30 years ago, though.
Who were friends living in Florida, I think.
Florida? That's right. That's right.
And one of the friends had a mother... And she was also living with them. So we got three old biddies and then an older biddy.
The funny one.
Living
Estelle Getty was the funny one.
Because she would say all the wisecracks, like, oh, you're a slut. It was funny to have an old lady say that, see?
And Bean's joke has always been, oh, they're so hot.
He wants to bang all the girls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't think they were all hot. I'm not particularly attracted to Bea Arthur, but Estelle was a looker.
All right. That's creepy.
Estelle Getty played Bea Arthur's mother on the show, and she was younger than Bea Arthur was.
What?
Yeah.
That really hurt. Did she just look bad?
She was 55 when she got the role, but they would make her up to look like she was in her 80s.
I had no
idea. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. She was actually younger than Bea Arthur.
Oh, wow.
So if Estelle Getty died at the age of 84, how old is Bea Arthur?
Yeah, no kidding.
How's she living?
I think they're just a year apart, I think.
Well... Hopefully they'll be napping together soon.
Oh,
I'm just bummed because there's no hope now for a Stop or My Mom Will Shoot sequel with Sylvester Stallone. That's what we're all waiting for, right?
Absolutely.
Kevin? Hi, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Hi, good to see you. Whispering to Mike.
Trying to communicate with Mike.
Kisses.
Very difficult.
It's very distracting when you guys are having a bromance and I'm trying to do showbiz news.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
What?
Oh, wait, you didn't ask a question, did you?
No.
Congratulations, Chris.
You're going to the
movie.
Number 12.
Way to go. Hold
on. Hey, Chris, were you calling number 12?
Yes, I was.
All right, then. Just checking.
They put his name up. They put him on hold, so I just, from memory, like usual, just went to it to get the answer.
You are like Pavlov's dog, my friend. You are just conditioned.
My bad.
Good news. Heidi Montag's leaving the country for a while.
Yay.
Apparently, she and her boyfriend, Spencer Pratt, are headed to the Middle East so that... Heidi can perform for military personnel.
Do they just let anyone go that wants to?
Well, she's going to perform for the soldiers.
Have they heard her?
Oh, so we haven't heard sing. We just heard perform.
We don't know sing. Yeah, Lisa's missing my point.
Come on, Lisa.
Could be good news. She's going to service.
Excellent.
The soldiers.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Give them a little entertainment.
Airtight, airtight.
Yeah, there's a lot of soldiers over there. She better get busy. Apparently, Spencer is going with her, so.
Yes.
Of course he is.
Come on, friendly fire.
If he won't go to a nightclub for less than 100 grand, what do you have to pay him to go to Iraq?
Oh, he's a patriot, Bean. How dare you suggest that he would take money for that?
Yeah. Whatever. Did you guys catch Kim Kardashian on Celebrity Family Feud last night?
I did not. I'm sorry. Yeah. How'd they do?
You didn't miss much because they were off in about three questions.
Oh, you mean there? I thought it was like a whole half hour with whoever.
Well, you play the game.
Yeah.
There's four families.
Oh, four families. Okay.
Two families play each other, and then the winners of those rounds go on to play each other. So there's about three rounds. And I was hoping that there'd be a lot. I hope they would go deep into the show because I could hear them say really stupid things because they're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so dumb that they got beaten in the first round.
Did they answer any questions correctly?
No.
Okay.
Not to the best of my knowledge. They didn't really even get a chance because they weren't fast enough to hit the buzzer before you answer, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't even get that far. They couldn't even hit the buzzer.
Oh, man.
So. How was her ass?
Looked great.
She looked great. She was on Jimmy Kimmel last week, and wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. They played the Deion Sanders family. The
no,
Kardashians did. Yes.
Really? And Deion Sanders?
Deion and them? Pilar Sanders and their kids were playing. And then the worst part is round two was Tiki Barber and his family against Ed McMahon and his family.
Shut up.
Oh.
And I was like, who is trucking crippled old broken neck Ed McMahon out and making him play the Family Feud?
He needs the money.
Well, it was all for charity. They were giving it to some charity.
You're kidding. That's why
I bet even worse. They were playing for 50 grand.
Ed
needs the 50 grand. He's going to give it away to some charity.
Damn it.
You know what I'm saying? All right, need an answer, Ed. I don't run out of time every time. Poor Ed couldn't come up with anything. It was just rough.
It's just rough. Man. That's sad.
They said, 100 people we asked, name the top answer, something that people spread. And Ed said, diseases.
Oh, no.
And it was the number one answer.
What?
Awesome.
Are you kidding? Butter was number two, and disease was number one.
Wow.
So Ed maybe still has something going on upstairs.
That's fantastic.
Jesus. It was a very entertaining show last night.
Did Kim say legs? Did she get a chance to answer that one?
Actually, Ed's brother-in-law said legs.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So the reason I bring it up is because a great story today about Shanna Moakler and Kim Kardashian having a bit of a cat fight. At Carmen Electra's barbecue in Malibu.
Oh, good. Good.
Wow.
Oh, that's
like
a barbecue.
Wet dream, doesn't it?
It does.
I had a dream last night, and Shanna Moakler and Kim Kardashian were fighting at Carmen Electra's house.
Damn.
And they all ripped their clothes off and smeared barbecue sauce all over each other.
Vagina.
Apparently, Shanna got loaded.
Huh.
Surprise. Mm. And started to cause a huge scene, when Kim showed up with Reggie Bush. Because apparently Kim Kardashian had been friends with Travis Barker about 2 years ago. And I guess Shanna thought something was going on between the two of them. And there was drunken yelling ensued. But apparently Kim took the high road and just said, let's get out of here, Reggie Bush. And they ran out of the party. But unfortunately, Reggie was knocked over by a paper cup.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're saying he's not so strong on his feet.
I'm just saying, doesn't take a hit too well. Open space, he would have been fine, but if that had been that paper cup in his way, he could have gotten 10 yards. Speaking of Kim Kardashian.
Did you bring up the whole barbecue just to make fun of anybody?
Yes.
Is that the goal there?
Yes, I did. Apparently, Kim's going to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
Kim?
Oh, Kim Kardashian.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
I'd like to see her dressed up in scanty outfits doing the mambo or whatever the F they do over there. Are you with me, people?
Yeah.
Yep.
We are. This outfit that Kevin was referencing on the Jimmy Kimmel Live appearance last week, there's no way you could dance in that. You could not move in that outfit without falling out of it.
I bet you she could move in.
Not without falling out of it, though. That's the key words.
Lindsay Lohan's leggings with pads in them.
I'm sorry, who?
Lindsay Lohan! Lindsay's got her own line of fashion wear. And one of her products that she designed personally was leggings with knee pads built into them.
Yay, knee pads!
So that when you go to service someone for drugs, you're good to go. You're set. You're ready.
Well, that's not how she describes what they're used for, right?
Come on. Come on. And we mocked them, we mocked them, we mocked them.
Don't you tell me they're big sellers.
At $150, $175
per. Yeah, they're stupid expensive.
waiting list to buy them now.
They're all sold out
across America. There are currently waiting lists in high-end boutiques across these great United States of ours.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
In order to buy the leggings.
You guys must love being alive right now.
You got to get on a list.
That means
you can't buy them.
But that means there are a lot of people who are willing to do what it takes
to get drugs.
God bless the crack whores.
Lisa, what's a pair of leggings usually cost?
$12.
Oh, and these are how much, Ralph?
These are $150 and $175, depending on where you shop for them.
That's crazy.
Well, they got the knee pads built in.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
Waiting list.
Yay, knee pads!
That has to be just because they didn't make
very many. You're trying to buy an electric car. You gotta put your name on a list to buy leggings.
And they're probably going to mark them up from the regular $170.
Ooh, geez, now they're $100 billion.
Dude.
By the way, the name of her clothing line is 6126.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Which is the birthday of Marilyn Monroe, 6/1/1926. Okay. But apparently Marilyn is her idol, and that's why she named it that.
And that's why she has knee pads?
And that's why she's going to end up dead from an overdose at 34 in her apartment by herself. Maybe. Could happen. You don't know. And Chase Crawford.
Private Eye.
Private Eye. You know him from Gossip Girls.
Oh,
Gossip Girl. Oh, I love the Gossip Girl on the CW. He apparently doesn't like girls interfering with his guy time.
Wow.
The New York Daily News says he was out partying with a group of buddies in his hometown in Texas and completely ignored all the young ladies who were desperate to get his attention. Wonder how that could happen.
Knock, knock. Anyone gay?
Yeah. I'm guessing someone is.
Stop bothering me when I'm with my buddies, girls. Your ickiness.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter. By the way, I got like 400 birthdays to go through today.
Really?
A big celebrity birthday day.
Hmm. Just name the big ones, though.
I'm giving you the big ones.
All right.
I'm talking, there's like a dozen big ones.
Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe, 19 years old today. He's 19,
Wow. He's been a star my whole life.
And he's only worth about $400 billion.
Yeah,
so.
He's rich and he's packing, my friends.
What? Excuse me, what?
He's packing. In the box. You know.
We all saw it on the stage production of Equus, yeah.
I wasn't that impressed.
I was impressed.
Am I the only one that didn't look at his wang?
I didn't see
it
either.
I guess so.
What with you people?
He's a scrawny little dude. They always look bigger.
Yeah.
It's the
tell
truth.
Yourself
when
that.
When you're a scrawny little dude,
right.
But
just by proportion,
guys,
you look bigger.
Roses look bigger in a small garden.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, boys.
When you're massive like Mike and I, sometimes... The optical illusion is a disservice to your manhood. That's right.
Knock, knock. Anyone gay?
Michelle Williams. Not the ex-wife of the dead guy.
Good.
Okay. The other one. Destiny's Child. She is 28 years old today. Right.
By the way, you know what her Michelle is her middle name. You know what her real first name is? Mm. Michelle Williams?
Laquanda.
You'll love this. You're very close. Tanitra.
There we go.
Tanitra
is her first name, ladies and gentlemen.
Knew how to be something challenging.
Girl! Holla!
Omar Epps turns 35 years old today. Marlon Wayans of the Wayans Brothers is 36. Alison Krauss, very popular singer who's enjoying an enormous tour with Robert Plant right now across the country. She is 37 years old today. Stephanie Seymour, former supermodel.
Ooh.
She was one of my favorite supermodels ever. Yeah. She is 40 years old today. Chrisma Carpenter, remember her from Buffy?
Oh. Yeah, sure.
38 years old today. Philip Seymour Hoffman turns 41. Slash of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 43 years old today. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode turns 47. Wow. Woody Harrelson is also 47.
My God.
And the biggest one, I say the best for last, Larry Minetti, who played Rick on Magnum P.I., turns 61 years old today.
Who was Rick?
Rick was his Weasley sort of best friend. He had two buddies. He had Rick, the white dude, and then TC, the black guy who ran the helicopter service.
Oh, yeah, TC.
He was, you know, he was the island choppers. He ran that business.
Yeah.
But Rick was like the Weasley con artist kind of guy. Magnum! He was always whining.
And that's the biggest? That's
that was Larry Minetti,
that's
yeah.
the biggest one?
So happy birthday, Larry Minetti.
For last?
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, Magnum. Oh, we got to get some Magnum P.I. theme for the next hour. Oh, I think we do.
All right.
My wish is granted. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know what's going on. It used to be that once the Hills wrapped for the year, you didn't hear anything more about the kids. But for some reason, right now, between these seasons, every single day, there's news about LC. There's more pictures of Audrina. And I have no complaint about that, by the way. There's Spencer and Heidi news. What's the deal? Why are they like round the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week celebrities now?
Because that's just it. They've moved on from TV stars to full-fledged celebrities.
They have really good publicists.
Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt were talking to Extra Television, and they were telling them that they are going to Iraq to entertain our troops.
My God. Wow.
Heidi and Spencer.
That it seems like they've suffered enough over there being in a war zone. But we asked producer Alex to line them up, and sure enough, we have Spencer Pratt from the Hills on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Spencer.
Captain. Yeah, you really are Captain. Yeah.
What's going on over there? Can you hear us, Spencer?
Yeah, what's up? Hey, hello.
How are things in Iraq?
Oh, it's crazy. Oh, man, a lot of dope stuff goes on over here.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Kendall, I tell you what.
Kevin?
I feel really patriotic. That's right.
Okay. Now,
Wait, that's what you're telling us? Is that you feel patriotic?
Yeah, you know. These colors won't fade. Red, white, and blue for life. Yeah.
All right. Good.
All right.
Hey, what does entertaining the troops mean in this particular case?
Well, you know, I got a lot of things going on. I'm always scheming, trying to work. You know, get my career on. You know, built up. And same with my girl, love of my life, Heidi.
Right. But we're talking about entertaining the troops in Iraq, right?
Yeah. I'm over here right now. I'm in Fallujah, and it's like. Heidi's going to sing to keep, you know, the hardworking troops entertained. I'm working on researching, you know, my role for my upcoming movie.
What upcoming movie?
Oh, I'm playing a Marine, and I wanted to make sure that I understood how everything worked, you know.
You are not playing a Marine.
I am. It's going to be
You're
sick.
Not an actor.
In a
it's
movie of any kind.
And alongside Steven Seagal in a new movie called Sergeant Sick.
Sergeant Sick.
Yeah, I play a Navy Marine SEAL Ranger specialist.
There's no such thing. That's a bunch of different.
And I smoke people that get in my way of patriotism. Yeah.
Are you writing this movie, Spencer?
I put together the script.
Okay. You and Nick.
Right, exactly.
Hey, I'm sorry, did I hear something?
Yeah, that was Lisa.
Shut your goddamn mouth. I'm a patriot, okay?
You can't talk like that.
She's allowed to talk over here.
Oh, right? I think I know how to use a weapon. I'll come back here and show you who's boss. Click clack.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
While I'm here, I want to make sure that the Iraqi people, they don't get neglected because I'm starting my new line of clothing for Middle Eastern people.
What?
You know, and it's like burkas and stuff.
You're starting a line of clothing
for
Iraqis.
Yeah, that's right. And it's got like burkas with diamonds on them and cigarette burns perfectly placed and like turbans that say afflicted by sin with a ray or like a rose in a skull.
Have you run these by anyone or this is just your idea?
It's already a phenomenon over here.
It is.
I see kids all over wearing it, yeah.
You see kids all over wearing it.
Totally. And, like, I'm like, I see a lot of dudes with beards here. They seem to like beards.
Right.
So well, I'm that's like, part of the culture. Their religion is they're asked to grow a beard.
Maybe they need straight Spencer-style flesh-colored neck beard dye. You know, because all their beards are black, and black is whack.
Spencer, I gotta back up one step again.
Go ahead, Chief.
Who over there in Iraq wants to hear your girlfriend sing? She's a horrible singer. People here don't want to hear her sing. Why do you think people there will want to hear her sing?
Listen, Brenda, you need to stop hating. Because like when John Wayne wrote War and Peace, people looked at him silly and they said, hey, that book's long. And I wanted you to know that Heidi sings good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's hard to argue. I don't know where to start arguing.
Ironically enough. She's about to take the stage. Hold on, I'm going to put the cell phone up to
that. Oh, please do. Oh, yeah. She's singing right now. Okay.
Wow, listen to that crowd.
That's huge.
Uh-oh. She must be topless. Oh, there you go. That's what we expected.
They're booing.
She's killing it. You can hear the Marines love it.
It sounds like they're booing.
Oh, yeah. It sounds good. Wow.
Spencer, they're booing at her. They want her to leave the stage.
Good God, y'all. Bring it to me now. Keep it going, Heidi.
They hate her.
They've been doing a flyover. They must really love her. Check it out. Here come the plane.
Finally.
sound good.
Heidi! Woo! Oh, it's hot.
It's hot.
Oh, that's a lot, that's a lot of firepower to kill one blonde. You can't be too safe.
What's going on?
Heidi. Hey.
Yeah?
She's all burnt up.
Yeah.
Oh, but she's even skinnier now.
Well, it was good news, bad news for Christian Bale after the weekend. He had to be happy with the huge record-setting box office of the Batman film at the box office. But bad news when he ended up arrested. And no one saw that coming. Christian Bale didn't seem like the kind of guy that was ever going to get in this kind of trouble. I mean, he seems so straight up.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. You never hear about this kind of stuff.
So what happened? We thought Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com might be able to fill us in on what this story is all about. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. Hey, before we start, can I just tell you, I mean, is Ralph there?
Yeah, he's in the other room. You want us to call him in?
No, it's okay. I mean, I was listening on the way in. His favorite moment of TV was my favorite moment. I'm telling you, that thing last night on Family Feud, when Ed McMahon, when they said number one things that spreads,
right.
Like, I was like on the sofa thinking, oh my God, he said disease, and I'm just laughing.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. It was great.
Laughing out loud at him, and then it was number one.
Laughing out loud at him. Well, it was hilarious.
He was right, and everyone else was wrong.
Anyway,
hey,
okay.
What's going to happen to poor Ed, by the way? He's not really going to end up homeless, is he, Harvey?
Well, you know, he's got this huge lawsuit. He, you know, fortunately for Ed, he slipped at a billionaire's house, which is always what you want to do. It's my feeling.
Sure.
Do you know about this?
Is that how he hurt his neck?
Yeah, he was going to this guy's house. He's a gazillionaire. And the guy apparently, or at least allegedly, didn't have a rail. So Ed went for the rail as he went up the steps to the front door. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't one. And that's how he fell. So what happens is, then he goes to Cedars-Sinai. How did we get him from Ed McMahon, from Christian Bale?
Yeah, no
Ed
kidding.
McMahon? Anyway, so he fell. And then they took him to Cedars-Sinai, and Cedars, he says, completely misdiagnosed him and basically said, hey, you know, go home, you know, you got a little sprain or something. And it was a broken neck, and he was suffering for like 2 weeks. So he's like claiming malpractice and elder abuse even against Cedars. So he's suing like crazy, and, you know, this could make I still don't understand. How can Ed McMahon, after The Tonight Show and Publishers Clearinghouse and Star Search and all this, how could he be broke?
I know.
Yeah, that seems bad.
That is bizarre. Yeah.
Living a pretty lavish lifestyle, but I guess that's the point to wrap this part up.
But have you seen him around like with Maseratis or anything? I mean, I don't know where he spent.
No.
Yeah, I don't either. But he claims he hasn't been able to work much in the last couple of years because of the pain that he was in from the neck injury, right?
He was on he had TV shows on for 90 years.
He did. That's true.
I know.
He shouldn't have to work now, but
I agree. It's sad. All right, let's talk about the Batman. What for folks who have not been paying attention and have only seen the headlines, what do we know, Harvey?
Okay, we do know something now. Here's the deal. He was going to the London premiere, and we caught him in LAX going on Saturday morning, and he was just so charming and nice with his wife and his kid, just so patient, and he was great. And we even commented on him on the TV show. So then he goes to London. He's in the hotel room doing junkets at, he wasn't in the middle of one, but that's why he was there. He was at the Dorchester, which is a fancy hotel in London, and he was there really for the premiere, but the day they were doing junkets, his mom and sister walked in the room. Now, here's what we know, because there was this whole thing that it was just verbal and everything else. It wasn't. There was some physical contact. We know that. Now, what I'm told is there's a debate on whether he allegedly pushed her or brushed her as he walked away from her. But it was very minor, and nobody even fell to the ground. Nobody was hurt. And here's what I can tell. I can tell you two things. Number one, my gut is this thing's going away. That's my gut.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot about nothing.
If no one fell and no one got hurt, it does seem like
it's a family squabble.
Could have just as easily been, you know, incidental.
Well, but there's more to the story.
Okay. All right.
And I can't, I mean, I'm you know, I'm sorry for being kind of a whore on this thing, but you're going to have to go to the website a little bit later because I'm not ready yet to exactly say it, but I think we know what's going on. And, you know, I'm not sure that Christian is at all the bad guy in this situation.
Really?
I think there's an interesting story behind it.
What's their relationship with he and his mom? Did they get along? Was he expecting her? Did she storm in? What happened?
You ask the right questions and bear with me for an hour or two.
Okay, so she crazy is what you're going to say in an hour or two. Right?
Now, okay, but changing the subject quickly to deflect what you're asking.
Okay.
What we did find out is that he was like a giant raw nerve because on Friday, last Friday, he was at Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico shooting Terminator 4.
He's the grown-up John Connor in Terminator 4.
Right.
Okay.
So, He was just having a bad day, and he was really tense and irritable. And the director of cinematography screwed up a shot.
Tell us his name.
It's the best ever. It's like...
The director of cinematography?
Shane Hurlbutt.
Shane Hurlbutt.
Oh, my God.
Is his name.
Oh, my God.
Shane
that
Hurlbutt.
That sounds like a Psycho Mike character.
I mean...
That's his name.
So you know what's going to happen to you when that's your name and you walk on a set.
So he screwed up a shot.
So he screws up a shot, and Christian just goes crazy and is just screaming. And there were like 250 military police there. I mean, this was the real military police from the base. And everybody's watching this, and he was just going crazy. I'm going to kick your ass. Just going crazy. And we talked to people involved in the, you know, in the film, and they said, well, yeah, you know, it happened.
Just on the timeline, this was Friday.
Right, and Saturday he was great.
Right, and then Saturday morning he was perfectly nice at the airport and fine.
But remember, the airport's a snapshot. I mean, that, you know, you get out of the car and you think, okay.
Right.
But, I mean, clearly he was tense about something.
And when did the alleged push? Sunday. Okay.
And then Monday is the premiere, so the police had already contacted him before the premiere, so he's going through all of this. I mean, I really feel bad for the guy I feel bad for him because of what I think really didn't happen here.
Right.
But you got to think, geez, this is a great moment for him, and this is hanging over his head that the police have called, and he basically knows he's probably going to be arrested the next day, and he's got to put on a decent face when he's going through this, so it clearly screwed up the entire...
He seemed kind of cranky at the red carpet premiere, too. He clearly was not in a jovial mood or anything like that.
Yeah. Clearly.
For obvious reasons.
He knew what was... Well, and that's what's interesting is now you go back and you look and you think, wow, it's so clear.
But Harvey, so the thing took place, and then how did the police get involved? I mean, if he pushed her, he brushed by her or whatever, were there police there that saw it? What happened?
No. I mean, I will now tell you this based on what I'm kind of inferring from everything that I know. It appears to me that the mother or the sister called.
That they called the police.
Yeah.
And said, hey, my brother is Christian
Bale.
Assaulted me.
Okay.
Wow.
If this incident had taken place in Los Angeles, would the police have ever been involved? Or would they have just hung up on her?
I mean...
Is it different because it's in Britain? Do they have some sort of weird law that I don't know about?
I mean, look, the police aren't judges and juries, and they're in a bad situation when somebody calls and they say, my son assaulted me.
Sure.
I mean,
if the police they have to respond.
Yeah, I mean, if the police ignore that, I mean, how do they know how bad it is, you know, and how do you know how alarmed the woman... I mean, I'm sure the woman didn't say, oh, my God, my son brushed by me as he walked past the door. Please arrest him.
I didn't fall and I'm not hurt, but you got to get him.
I mean, you know that's not the way it went down.
Harvey, why did it take... I saw on your site that Christian Bale was in police custody and being interviewed for 4 hours. What was going on in all that time?
I mean, I'm sure that, you know, this was handled differently because it's Christian Bale. I mean, they know what's going on. I mean, don't think the police don't know what they're dealing with. They care about the media. They care about, I mean, and remember, too, I mean, Christian Bale can hire the best lawyers in the world, and he's gonna. And they know they have to do everything exactly by the book. And you know, and I don't think they were, I mean, I don't think this was any kind of a grand interrogation. I think it was just part of the process, and they wanted to be careful. Because we were calling Scotland Yard. And Scotland Yard was decent about this whole thing. I mean, I think they're in a situation where, they got to investigate it. If somebody says, hey, my mom got assaulted. I mean, on the surface, that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah. So he tells them what goes on, and then they continue the questioning, and they say, so Two-Face, what was the thing, and how come Heath Ledger, when he was hanging from the building, and they're just asking him a lot of questions?
Right. Well, it's a 2.5-hour movie, so there's a lot to ask.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to get caught up.
Right, they spend 6 minutes on the mother, and they spend 2 hours on Heath.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So later this morning, during the Kevin and Bean show this morning, there'll be an update then at TMZ.com. Okay.
Did you guys see John Mayer in the show?
No. Was it last night?
Oh,
I taped it. Was it last night?
It was the last two nights, but thanks for watching.
Oh, dude. I'll get to it. I'm just running a little behind. You know we love you, Harvey.
I listen to you guys.
Yeah, not very often, though.
Appreciate that. Is John Mayer doing...
I knew about Family Feud, so what are you talking about?
I know you did. Is John Mayer doing something noteworthy or just making the O face in public again?
No, it was so funny. I mean, he threatened us like 3 weeks ago that he was going to hijack the show because he keeps saying, you know, you guys put on, like, the biggest non-events on TV sometimes. So,
true.
So he said, I'm going to hijack your show one day. So last week, he comes out of this van, and we were there, and he walks us around New York City for a half hour. And he did the funniest stuff. I, honest to God, it's pee in your pants funny. And we ran it the last 2 days.
I'm going to have to watch that because I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
I swear to you.
Wow.
I mean, I'll get you guys a If you didn't, get you guys a DVD.
We have it on season pass, man. We tape it every day. Don't worry about that.
It's so funny.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the tip. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, TMZ TV, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Great to catch up with you, Hammer.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Kevin Smith on the program today, which, by the way, is kind of a mistake for us because he's so good that people will want him to do the show and fire us. He could take over the Kevin and Bean show, and it would be a brilliant.
Of course, but why would he do that?
Also, Survivor Man tomorrow, by the way, a huge program. Our friend Simon Pegg, terrific actor, is going to be coming in. And Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean show on KROQ. Tell me we don't have a lot of questions for that dude in the last few years since we've seen him.
Like, what happened last?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm lost. I don't even remember.
Wait, it's about aliens or the FBI or both or what? Bring me up to speed. I think too much time has passed.
Was the last thing that we saw the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
All right. There were bees. That's all I know.
Afroline 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day, you can leave a message.
Hey, Bean, your mother's so blind, she has an eye on her asshole, and she still can't see
Oh, that's bad.
Wow. Snap. So that's where we're going with this. This girl sounds like a catch.
I know this is really informal and everything, but, Dave, in New Mexico, would you marry me? Okay, bye.
You should not drink and dial, people.
Although I think Dave should say yes before she changes her mind and sobers up.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is ugly. She's the weirdest looking thing on the planet.
How dare you?
I wouldn't go ugly, but
not ugly.
She just didn't seem hot enough for that role. That's all.
I went to see the movie after Kevin besmirched her good name on the show.
She's a great actress, and she looks fine.
She's very attractive and very likable, and
likeable,
you can understand why somebody would want to date her. She's smart, and she's funny, and she's cute, and why not?
All but cute. I'm just saying.
Batman, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Batman. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I just saw Batman.
And that,
all right, then.
Is there any more to that?
And
or?
That theme song was all that you could come away from that movie from, which, of course, wasn't in it at all.
Didn't use.
We have an impersonator on the line.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Don't tell Kevin Bean. How's it going, Kevin Bean? What's up, Kevin Bean? I'm going to kill people, Kevin Bean. What's up with my eye, Kevin Bean? You know what's up, Kevin Bean? I mean, Kevin Bean. What's up, Kevin Bean? Bye-bye, Kevin Bean.
I'd like to say it was good, but it wasn't repetitive enough.
You bastards. My assholes. Silver platter. Just picture it.
All right. Yes, that was for Lisa. I hope.
Oh, okay.
This
I
one's
no
for
idea.
This one's for Mike.
Psycho Mike is gayer than a pink Miata, gayer than a leather tutu, gayer than Liza Minnelli and Barbra Streisand singing show tunes about hair products.
It's gay.
It's pretty gay.
He is gay. Don't get me wrong. But when he's in the presence of Bean.
Not as gay.
Not quite as.
I hear you.
This dude went out, checked the mail, and could not be more excited. What came yesterday?
Yes! My Victoria's Secret catalog came today. Yes!
Congratulations. We'll see you in an hour.
Yesterday, Ralph was talking about the Comic-Con because we had Seth Green in,
mm-hmm.
who is going to the Comic-Con, and Ralph's going to be in Vegas, and he was complaining because he wasn't able to go to the Comic-Con this weekend.
All day you do is come up with really stupid remarks to make fun of celebrities when you're a f***ing retard. And you make fun of Bean. F*** you, Ralph. F*** you.
Wow.
This program engenders a lot of love lately.
Anger issues much? And finally, we were talking about two different things. We were talking about Dimitri,
yes.
who left that ridiculous phone message for that chick named Olga.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Peeping Toms. Mm-hmm. At different times, this guy's trying to, I think, connect the two, and this is for you, Lisa.
Okay, so I know that you're home because I'm watching you through blinds, and you're at home, so answer your phone, Lisa. You need to answer the phone. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill someone right now and let you answer the phone.
All right.
If you don't answer, Lisa, then I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to call you back. So I know you're home. I'm watching The Blinds right now, and you're stepping into the shower. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, take it off. Yeah. Oh, yes, Lisa. Never mind. Don't answer. Just keep doing that. Okay, bye.
I took it off after I got in the shower.
Did you take a shower last night, or was that live?
I did take a shower
there it
last
is.
Night. It's true.
All right, we need to have that
and
guy in.
And I answered the phone.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no one died on my watch.
That's nicely done.
Ralph, you're going to be very excited. Our Project Revolution winner sounds like a good Irish girl. You'll appreciate Lupe Gutierrez from Dole Gardens just won her tickets.
She's from the County Cork Gutierrez's.
Yeah.
That's where they're from, that part of Ireland.
So she won those tickets this hour just for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got great concert tickets all week long for you, including next hour between 7 and 8. How about tickets to go see Beck? So listen for that. 6:52, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, Lupe, would you like another pint of Guinness?
That's what they ask her at home. You know what? Today's a good day for me.
How come?
Because I will get to talk comic books without catching hell from you people.
Yeah.
Because Kevin's coming in. Yeah.
Once a year, I get a chance to talk about comic books free of abuse, and that's when Kevin Smith comes in.
Yeah.
For Comic-Con.
He's way cooler than you are, though.
Well, that's a given.
Okay.
But regardless, he is a huge comic book fan.
He is.
The biggest.
And so I can come in here with him, and we can talk comic books for like 40 minutes, and you guys can't say a thing.
We don't need your help on that one as much.
And there's never been a topic you need my help more on, by the way.
That's possible.
Iron Man. Who's Iron Man? What does he do? Does he eat iron?
You get those kind of questions. It's painful.
I hate to say this because I was a comic book fan at one time in my life, but I, unlike Ralph, grew out of it.
What?
I'm actually starting to get a little bit excited about The Watchmen, a comic book I never read, but now all of a sudden I keep hearing more and more about it, and it sounds like it's going to be so awesome. And I guess this weekend is when they're going to unveil footage for the convention.
The graphic novel, they said, that could not be filmed.
Right. I saw a trailer for it before Batman, and it was looked fantastic.
By all accounts, Zack Snyder, who did 300, of course, another comic book movie, is brilliant in adapting this previously hereto thought of as unadaptable comic book. But it's the quintessential sort of grown-up comic book. You know, it is it's another sort of take on what would it be like if superheroes were really walked among us kind of thing.
But it doesn't come out till next year?
I think
next
2014. Year, right. Yeah.
What's the Watchmen's deal? What could he do?
Now, Watchmen is a group.
Oh, sorry.
It's like a Justice League of America kind of group of superheroes. You've got the Night Owl, and you've got the Comedian, and a bunch of other fictional heroes that are sort of based on popular superheroes we know of, but are much more adult, and they have affairs, and they're flawed. And it's an interesting book.
Nice.
Great book. You should pick it up if you get a chance. They have it now. All the issues sort of bound into one edition that you can read the whole story in, and it is sort of considered the masterpiece of comic book lore. So,
right.
You might want to pick it up and read it before you see the movie. I think you'd appreciate it even.
Don't
more.
Have time.
You got time to read a comic book.
You got a year too. By the way,
it's perfect for you. By the way, Kevin, a lot of pictures.
Good point.
How dare you?
Just saying. You know who else is a comic book geek? I know you make fun of me for being a comic book
yes.
nerd. You know, Kevin Smith, of course, I'm sure, before he became a high-powered filmmaker, caught some wrath for being a comic book nerd.
Sure.
You know who else is a self-described comic book nerd?
Who?
Oh, nobody. Just Megan Fox.
Oh!
Yeah, how do you like me now? Suck it!
Wow. That's pretty strong.
I'm not comfortable at all when people say I'm hot and sexy, Megan says in an interview in the FHM magazine.
Well, wait a minute now. Hold on just a second.
I'm just a big comic book nerd, she says, who really couldn't give an S about what Hollywood thinks.
Well, then don't work in Hollywood.
Now, here's the thing, and I respect her for this, and I appreciate this about her, and she's got a point. She works in Hollywood. She's smoking hot. She's great at what she does. She was terrific in Transformers. She'll be great in Transformers 2. But you do not see her at Ledoux. There's no photos of her with the paparazzi, her coming out of a limo without her underwear. You don't see her drunkenly stumbling out of, some club at 2 o'clock in the morning.
She's also not ugly.
She's stunning.
Okay, so,
but
what do you want from us?
Beside that part, you don't see her sort of hobnobbing with all those young Hollywood idiots who make TMZ all the time.
Right.
Which I think is to her credit.
Okay,
she's with
sure,
her old
that's fine.
Fiance.
Brian Austin Green?
Yes.
He's probably desperate to get out there. Can we please go to the zoo? I need my picture taken so bad.
I know.
No, I want to stay home and read The Watchmen again.
But she shouldn't complain about being called hot, though. That's all I'm saying.
She just says she's not comfortable with
it. Well, she should try it from our side. It's way worse.
We have no choice but to drool. We have no choice.
She says, I don't leave my home ever. If I do, it's to go to KFC.
Well, she knows how to eat.
So I'm not involved in Hollywood at all. I don't read anything about myself. People that I know have Google alerts on themselves are all crazy.
Well, I agree with that.
My mom tells me a nice thing once in a while, but she weeds out all the negatives to spare me, but I don't care.
Ralph, what about the picture of her last week wearing the R2-D2 T-shirt? Did you just about die?
She apparently, by all accounts, is just a big sci-fi comic book nerd.
She may be perfect.
How about that?
She's the fanboy's dream come true.
No kidding. I love her so much.
You know, if they do...
makes her less hot to me, by the way.
Reading comic books makes her less hot.
Comic book nerd?
Yeah.
He is so...
Way hotter.
A little.
Way hotter.
Way hotter?
Yes.
That makes her hotter?
Yes. Absolutely. You know why? Because it makes her a regular gal who's much more approachable than some girl who only eats at,
Ivy.
The Ivy, right, or goes to these clubs.
Well, you're talking about
limos that just, you would never have anything, you would never be able to talk to someone.
You're talking about three different things. You're talking about people who are in the celebrity world, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying if she's a comic book nerd.
But that means you can have regular conversations with her
about
stuff you're
interested
in.
No, but it shows that she probably is the type of girl that you could convince to play Guitar Hero with you,
right,
or do other
sort of interests. She's not totally superficial. She likes to have a good time. She's much more grounded.
All right. I concede.
Look, we're only arguing between perfect and more perfect. I mean, that's the only distinction we're making here with Megan Fox.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm just... If they do make a third and fourth Batman movie with what's his name?
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
How good would she be as Catwoman? How perfect a Catwoman would she be?
Ooh, interesting. She's got the eyes, I'll tell you.
Interesting.
She's got everything. She is Catwoman. She'd be the ideal Catwoman.
Makes Megan Fox more perfect is that all other girls hate her.
That's true. They do hate her.
I love that.
She's disgusting. Look at this. She's a skank.
I think Dave, the King of Mexico, would even throw out his no tattoo rule for a shot.
No, he wouldn't. He's already said he wouldn't.
Really?
Those tattoos are disgusting.
It's really easy to
think she's hot.
It's really easy to say that when he's not going to ever have the chance.
By the way, her next film, Jennifer's Body.
Yeah. Yes.
The one that she's nude in a lot?
She says about the film, I have a few love scenes. I eat and seduce everyone, boys and girls. There's lots of kissing and craziness. It was awkward. It's always awkward, and it's never fun, she said about filming the love scenes. Who cares?
Who cares?
That movie. Get that movie out. Get that on IMAX.
Yeah.
I want IMAX Vulva.
What a great band.
IMAX Vulva?
Yes.
Playing Winnie Roast next
year. I want 50-foot-tall vulva. That's what I want.
That seems a little big, but all right.
I want wall-to-wall vulva.
The problem is, once you go see Jennifer's Body, you'll never want to see another movie. You'll just want to keep going back to that one.
IMAX Vulva, by the way, is a great porn star name, too.
Oh, that's
sure
true.
Is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome IMAX Vulva. Very exotic sounding. All right, talking about movies, I've got tickets for a movie. All right.
Okay.
Does that sound good so far?
Would that be Step Brothers?
It would be Step Brothers.
Yes.
It is, of course, the hilarious comedy featuring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. It opens up on Friday. You get to see it Thursday night at the Arclight Cinemas at the very special K-Rock screening if you are the first caller with the correct answer to this trivia question. Last time John and Will worked together was, of course, Talladega Nights, the ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Shake it big.
Here's the question. Which two famous celebrities are eating dinner with Jean Girard, played by, of course, by the hilarious Sacha Baron Cohen, when Ricky Bobby goes to visit him? Remember, he goes to his house to visit him to talk about racing together when they come back?
Yes.
He's sitting there eating lunch with two huge celebrities that make no sense for Jean Girard to be dining with.
And does Will Ferrell's character, he asks about both of them.
Yeah, he's like, is that? So, give me the name of the two celebrities right now. 1-800-520-1067. Do it! Call now!
Great question.
It is a great question. It's a great scene in that show. Sorry, Bean, but we need to say goodbye to Estelle Getty.
No!
From the Golden Girls.
She's just sleeping.
No. Trust
She's
me.
Just had a long day.
Trust
She's
me.
Tired.
Recently, I've had a lot of experience what people look like when they're dead versus sleeping. Trust me, she's dead.
No!
She, of course, played Bea Arthur's mother, Sophia, in the 80s smash hit sitcom The Golden Girls. And next time you think about, wow, TV's in a sad, sorry state, there's nothing to watch, just keep in mind that in the 80s, Golden Girls was a hit.
Yeah. Big hit and a great show.
A lot of people watched Golden Girls. So don't cry to me about the state of television when Golden Girls was on.
Holds
and it
up
was
today.
A big it does
not
hold
days.
Up
no entertaining now.
Those didn't hold up then. Unless you were in the throes of menopause, there was nothing for you to watch in the Golden Girls. Of course,
but
being
your point
went
is,
through early menopause. So.
Yeah. Estelle Getty is fine, though? That's what you're saying?
No, my point is she has passed at the age of 84 years old.
No! All right. That's funny. Hey, Bean finds her attractive. That's funny. All right. Okay. Yeah. We haven't answered your question, Ralph.
Already?
Yep.
Wow.
Jason and Torrance.
How you doing, man?
Jason, what two celebrities were Jean Giraud dining with when Ricky Bobby came to visit him?
Elvis Costello and Mos Def.
Mos Def and Elvis Costello, yes. Inexplicably, he was eating with those two guys.
That's a party.
That was one of the strangest things I've ever
what a
seen.
A great throwaway moment where they're looking at him and he just walks right past him.
Was that Mos Def?
That Elvis Costello? congratulations, you're going to see Step Brothers Thursday night. Hold on, we'll give you all the details, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And another story about a young lady who's beautiful and even more accessible when you hear what she's been up to lately. Get Smart star Anne Hathaway was spotted by People magazine. Getting loaded and singing karaoke at the Jersey Shore Monday night.
Oh, good.
For those of you who don't know what the Jersey Shore is, that's the coast along New Jersey where a lot of people on the East Coast go to vacation in the summertime. I spent every summer of my young life down the Jersey Shore.
Oh, really? That's where you go to party?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're the only people in the world that call it a shore, right? Everywhere else it's the beach or the ocean.
Yeah, you don't go to the beach in Jersey, you go to the shore.
Go to the shore.
And she apparently Monday night was hammered, dancing on tables, and sang Don't Stop Believin' by Journey at karaoke night at a bar called Martini Beach there on the shore. So she sounds like a good time.
All right, then.
Boobies! She's from the Philly area, so... makes sense that she would go to the Jersey Shore.
I'm sure Kevin finds her less attractive since she does karaoke. Because that's
no,
such a normal
crazy.
Thing to
she's
do.
Dancing on tables, singing. I'm fine with that.
No,
she
we
drinks.
Have to talk to about the shores. Kevin Smith. I bet he goes to the shore.
To the shore.
Down the shore. Let's go down the shore. What are you doing this summer? I'm going down the shore. Yeah.
By the way, how is it that it's down the shore everywhere? On the, you could be in Florida and you're like, let's go down Jersey Shore.
Yeah, let's go down the shore. It's a lovely accent.
Yeah,
in Jersey,
it's
Philadelphia.
Charming.
By the way, yeah. What are you doing this summer? I'm going down the shore. Get a hoagie.
I'd kill myself.
Hoagie and a Coke. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Daniel Radcliffe. Harry Potter, 19 years old today. Wow.
Yeah.
If I was 19 and had $40 billion, whatever he's got...
Yeah, I'd kill myself.
I'd never live to see 20.
You wouldn't.
Yeah. I just wouldn't. I'd go to Vegas and I...
would be a good-looking corpse.
No one would hear from me again.
How bad would your attitude be on the set of the next Harry Potter movie?
Oh, forget about it. Make Christian Bale look like Tom Hanks. Christian Bale getting all angry at people. Him. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 28. Omar Epps turns 35. Marlon Wayans is 36. Alison Krauss enjoying a successful partnership with Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin these days. She is 37. Charisma Carpenter.
Oh!
He's 38 years old today. And by the way, he looks great for 38. I'll tell
she
you.
Does.
Stephanie Seymour.
Oh!
Ooh, supermodel. 40 years old. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well, a lot of Seymours having birthdays today. He is 41. look less alike than Philip Seymour Hoffman and Stephanie Seymour, by the way.
They're not even related, I bet.
I don't think they are. Slash is 43. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode is 47. Woody Harrelson also turns 47 today. And Larry Minetti. Woo! They got a lot of love, by the way, for my earlier shout-out to Larry Minetti, who, of course, played Rick on the legendary series Magnum P.I. This theme song gives me a boner.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a Magnum boner.
All right, then. Let's stop that.
Come on.
Is Magnum boner opening for IMAX Volva?
That sounds like a double bill.
Larry Minetti played Rick. Is 61. In the golden days of Magnum, I used to rock the cargo shorts and the Hawaiian shirt.
Really?
The baseball cap. That was sort of my uniform in the summer months down the shore.
Down the shore?
Down the shore. Couldn't grow the mustache there. Couldn't rock the Selleck mustache, but I had everything else going on.
You were a looker.
I didn't have the Ferrari. You didn't have the Ferrari.
No.
I was driving what the hell was it called? Nissan Pulsar at the time.
Oh, the Pulsar.
Pulsar.
Yeah.
Chick magnet. Oh, the Pulsar was so popular, I think they canceled it after they made mine. You don't see a lot of Pulsars on the road anymore.
No, you don't.
But it was a classic. It was the ultimate driving machine they used to call it back in the day.
Yeah.
I love my Pulsar. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Bean has a blog, and no one gives an F. And
But he does pictures on Friday of his dog, Tater Tot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tater Tot Friday. Thank you, Ralph.
And he gets enough, like, crazy pet parent feedback that he finds that to be maybe the best day of the week.
Tater Tot Friday is my favorite day of the week to see new pictures of Tater Tot. I wish I could leave my home.
It's not just crazy pet parents. Lots of people enjoy looking at Tater because she's an astonishingly good-looking dog.
She's a dog.
Listen, I don't want to...
Seeing one picture of Tater Tot, you got it. You get that image in your mind, you're set.
Yeah. Down, so Tater. He takes a picture, Bean does. It's, you can see it at krock.com. Click on Kevin and Bean. The picture is right there. And he looks French, Bean does. Bean, who is wearing a beret. Is that what you call that hat?
That's what you call it.
He's got a drawn-on mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's holding his dog.
He's got a striped shirt.
Yes.
He's wearing like a French striped shirt and a cravat or a... An ascot,
a scarf
around his neck.
Okay, so Bean's going to this much trouble for this photo. And he's holding his dog's ears up.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to Bean, I say, what could possibly... And he said these words, and I wrote it down just so that I knew exactly what he said. He said, quote, Tater Tot was doing his impression of a French bulldog for Bastille Day. Tater Tot.
First of all, and second of all, she's an English bulldog. But you hold her ears up, and now she looks like a French bulldog.
Right, but you said Tater Tot was doing her impression.
Yeah.
What's happening is your dog is sitting there tolerating you holding up her ears while you take a photo.
You're dressed as an a-hole.
It's just...
And your point is that...
What the F's wrong with you is our point.
I thought it would be fun, first of all. You guys were always saying that...
You don't do anything fun.
That's what my point
Bean is.
Bean is
not
that I would
wacky.
Think...
Bean is not nutty. He's not silly. That's what all of these things portray, is that he's a wacky, silly, nutty
but
guy.
But that's why I thought you, of all people, would appreciate this as, hey, Bean's letting his hair down a little bit and having some fun. Bean's doing something that's just silly. I thought you guys would be down with that.
You're not letting your hair down. You're tucking your hair up under your beret, by the way, first of
that's
all.
That's true. Literally, I guess that is true.
And...
You're holding
Here's
up your
the thing:
dog's
if you
ears.
Were taking a picture of yourself dressed as a wacky Frenchman, a la Monty Python or something, and said "Happy Bastille Day" and put it on your blog,
right.
That wouldn't be funny. Don't get me wrong, but at least it would have been you trying to do something fun for freaking Bastille Day, a holiday that nobody celebrates in America. Okay, but no, you take your dog and then you pull up your dog's ears and say she wants to do an impression of a French bulldog.
Yes, that's what
and
she
then
was
he
doing.
Has the nerve to pile on pet parents.
Yeah, I know.
It's so hypocritical.
Well, I'm not a pet parent.
You
first
are.
The only thing
I'm
worse than parent. Dressing your dog up for Bastille Day is dressing up for your dog for Bastille Day.
I'm not
Don't
dressing
more
up
retarded.
For Tater Tot.
Do you think Tater recognized that as Bastille Day, as your outfit for that?
Did Tater Tot
no.
say, hey, Bean, seriously, I got an idea. Let's do a funny Bastille Day gag. You hold my ears up and dress as a Frenchman, and I'll just look mildly annoyed into the camera. How about that?
But the sentence that really worried me was when he said that his dog was doing an impression.
Yes.
Which it clearly
well, it's
isn't.
It's her
not
impression.
Her impression of anything. It's her
but
impression.
But it is because with her ears up, now she's not an English bulldog anymore. Now she's a French bulldog.
But she doesn't have her ears up. You're holding them up. That's not
well,
her.
Dog's not doing anything.
It's not her. That's not an impression from her.
Dog isn't
she's
doing
having
anything
the time of her
but
life.
Repressing the urge to bite your throat out. It's the only thing that dog's doing in that picture.
I wish it would look at that.
Over
that'd be
the
great.
Course of.
Just turn.
Tired of Bastille Day.
Over the course of the years on and off that I've had my blog, Tater Tot's developed quite a following. People enjoy seeing her, and I
see,
thought
crazy nutty pet parents write every single
no,
time they respond
no,
to him in the comments. Look at the comment section; they'll go, "Oh, wow, that made my whole day.
Friday's my favorite day."
Yeah,
but it just
they're
feeds
not all
into
pet
Bean's
parents,
mania.
Though. Some people just enjoy looking at funny pictures of dogs. That's all. But the point is that I thought it might be something special because there was a holiday last week. I thought it might be something special for the many, many readers of the blog just to see,
but
you know, something a little different.
But here's Bean. Here's Bean. It has to be a holiday that no one celebrates. It has to be an obscure,
of course,
nobody cares about it holiday. And then Bean will go over the top.
I got an idea for Christmas. Why don't you nail Tater Tot to a cross and put a crown of thorns around her head? And you can dress as Pontius Pilate.
I know it seems like I'm slicing it kind of thin here, but I would never dress up Tater Tot for, say, the 4th of July like some people do with their dogs. I don't believe... I don't believe in dressing up your dogs. I really don't.
But that's a holiday people celebrate, too. That's the other problem.
But what I'm saying is the only reason I did Bastille Day is because, to me, it's very funny that you can turn an English bulldog into a French bulldog with so little effort. That's the only reason I did.
You can't do that. There's
no.
There's no French bulldog.
Doesn't change her DNA. Doesn't change her species because you hold her
ears.
No.
But she looks like a French bulldog.
She looks like your dog, which you take pictures of every Friday. No different, except for some a-holes holding up her ears. That's it.
Dressed in a beret and a fake penciled-on mustache.
Do you have no trigger that fires in your brain at any time where you say, if I do this, I will become an asshole?
No. That line is so far in the past.
Is there never anything that any red flag that pops up anywhere? You're saying, geez, if I let my hair grow and get greasy, I'll look like a dirtbag. Is there no self-imposed barriers to your behavior any longer?
I thought the photo would be entertaining for the many, many people who seem to enjoy tater tot photos on my blog each week. That's all it was, guys. It wasn't, I'm not making some grand statement here. It's not some state of the world. It's just a funny picture for people who would enjoy it.
It's sad. It's a picture for people who go into the Save-On and buy the greeting card with the basset hound on the front. Get well soon. Why the long face? It's for those retards. That's who that picture is for.
Look at the sadness in Tater Tot's eyes. Tater Tot hates you.
Tater Tot wants to kill. Look at her eyes. She's dead inside.
You're the definition of the guy with too much time and money. That's what you are. Because I don't care about the picture. I'm thinking about the 2 hours leading up to the picture. Donna, did you see that beret I just bought? Where's that? Can I borrow your eyebrow pencil to draw on a lame-ass mustache?
No, this is going to be funny. I'm going to hold your ears up.
Oh, I can barely contain my laughter at myself. I'm so clever.
All right, you've convinced
me. If you had a life, this never would have happened.
If you were doing things,
I'm putting it on a t-shirt and selling it at KRock.com.
Right. Just talk to me into it.
All right, fantastic.
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
Anyone who isn't dead or from another plane of existence would do well to cover their ears right about now.
Do you know that one was that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
What do you mean there's no ice? You mean I gotta drink this coffee hot?
This job would be great if it wasn't for the customers.
What do you want with me?
Stop a couple of angels from entering and thus negating all existence. I hate it when people need it spelled out for them.
Hello?
I'm Jay. This is my head of a life mate, Sam Bob.
Sex is a joke in heaven.
The way I understand it is mostly a joke down here, too.
Straight from TJ, I give you Kinky Kelly and the Sexy Stud.
I'm the Sexy Stud.
Writer, director, actor, artist, lover, Kevin Smith, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Kevin, what's going on, man?
Finally, somebody has acknowledged
me as a lover.
Put lover
at the top of that list.
Yeah. Right? Really. Yeah.
Nobody ever says that. I'll take
Mr.
lover
Smith?
Over rock and tour. Yes.
how you be, man? What's going on?
I'm well. How are you guys?
You're good.
Yeah.
Are you...
Can't hear yourself? Yeah, there's a little...
I should turn that up a little bit there.
Hey, there I am. I'm on the radio.
Are you, despite all your success... Still a little kid inside when it gets to be Comic-Con weekend? Are you still bursting at the seams to head down to San Diego?
I'm bursting at the seams. Period, sir. Has nothing to do with Comic-Con. I get excited around Comic-Con. But Ralph and I were just talking outside. Sometimes it's
I bet you
like,
were. I bet in excruciating detail.
It's also, now, you know, they got attendance over 100,000, man. It's just not the same as it was many years
125,000 they're predicting this weekend in San Diego now.
I don't doubt it.
Kevin is doing...
Dark Knight will bring even more people.
Four things?
I'm doing four panels. I got
four
different panels. One on Thursday is a Spike sponsored panel called Scream Like a Girl, and it's a bunch of chicks from genre.
Okay.
Like the chick who draws Y, The Last Man.
Yeah.
I think Gail Ann Hurd, a couple other chicks. And then Saturday is me moderating the Battlestar Galactica panel. And then Friday is some EW panel called The Directors, where it's Zack Snyder, the guy who did 300
doing
The Watchmen,
right. Mm-hmm.
Judd Apatow, Frank Miller, and me.
That's pretty strong, by the way, to be in that company.
Yeah.
What
strong without you.
It's almost like you're saying you don't belong in that
company.
Well,
I'm saying you do, but it must be cool to be you because I don't. You know, that's pretty cool.
I feel
cool.
You, though. When they said you want to be on the panel, I was like, one of these things is not like the other.
Filmmakers who are redefining what it means to have power in Hollywood.
Which is ridiculous for me.
Kevin Smith,
hardly.
Right there.
Those three dudes are power brokers. I'm holding on by the skin of my teeth. Coasting since 94.
Well, you're fooling enough people anyway that you're on the panel.
The cool thing about you is you get to be just be a fan.
fan, like a Battlestar Galactica, and just show up and just moderate. You got no business being there. You have nothing to do with the show. You just get the hang of it.
I have as much business on stage as anyone sitting in the audience.
But you get to be the guy.
I get to be the dude, the go-to dude.
And your fourth panel, the one you didn't mention, is about your new movie.
That's just kind of the annual panel that I do every year. Go down and Q&A for a while. But this one is more Zach and Miri make a porno oriented, and the cast is coming down.
Speaking of which, you never get a chance. Being sorry to interrupt, but if you ever get a chance, get the DVDs of Kevin doing his evening with Kevin Smith.
Oh, I do. They're great.
Those are the first one and Evening Harder,
so
whatever the hell it is. But
boy, loves to talk
every morning.
It's just freaking
you guys make me
entertaining.
Feel so good about
and
this.
They've got the evening that I saw Kevin do with Stan Lee and Joe Quesada. Quesada, how do you say it?
Quesada.
Talking about the history of Marvel Comics, which, if you're a comic book geek like me, was just an amazingly entertaining evening. That's also on DVD. You can pick that up.
Now, Kevin Smith,
awesome talker. Yes.
Yes, he is. Has Ralph hit you up for his favor yet for this weekend?
No. What is your
we were talking about the 1966 Batgirl cycle.
You want me to pick one up for you?
If you happen to be over...
You want me to be a what do they call it?
A mule?
You'll
<Mule. laughs>
yeah. have to carry it in your ass, too, when you come back from San Diego.
I think I can boost that, sir. I think I might be able to manage that.
I want you to avoid customs when you come back.
I will seal it up in a rubber balloon, and I will totally boost it.
Oh, man.
Just saying, if you're walking past the Hot Wheels booth while you're down there, I'm just saying.
I can snag that for you. If you happen to see me.
I got props in that community.
I bet you.
I would like to ask me one of those pats.
We had a listener yesterday who called, who offered to do it, but Ralph was afraid that it might end up being crazy expensive, like some of them are sometimes. So he wanted to kind of go to a guy with some bank that he knew could sweat it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Totally. I can do that for
you. Well, maybe I should wait to see the box office for Zach and Miri first before I hit you up for
you
any
gotta
favors,
wait till October till that.
Oh, really?
October 31st, yeah. You might as well hit me now. Just in case.
It would be better?
Yeah, I think so.
Kevin, do you collect any specific toys like Ralph does with the Batman stuff?
You know, I used to. And then I stopped because I had the kid, and the kid started opening things. I used to have all the Batman animated series figures, and the kid opened a Clayface, and I was like, this is over.
Are you mad just for a second, and then you go, no, it's my kid.
For a second, dude. She's nine, and I still remind her about it.
Like, when you were the time you broke daddy's heart.
You opened my Clayface. You idiot. You mistake.
Why did I ever have you?
Oh, God. Why didn't I wear a condom? Yeah, I did. So I stopped collecting stuff. And also, once I bought the comic book stores, suddenly the need to collect things went out the window.
Yeah, I
got
it
all there.
And yeah,
there's
a store
place that I could just go in and steal from.
What about comic books? Do you still bag and board your books and put them in a drawer?
I stopped bag and boarding back in 96 when we were making Chasing Amy because Stray Bullets was David Lapham.
Right. I don't know what bagging and bulleting means. What is that?
Bagging and boarding. Sorry, boarding. That's where you put the comic book inside a bag and a board.
You buy the comic book.
Protect it.
Put it in
to protect it.
Keep it cardboard. Keep it protected.
And you seal it, and then you put it in your collection in your
all the
your
harsh
room.
Elements of your bedroom.
Yes,
the windstorms, the rain.
But collectors do that to new books even today. They'll read a comic book, and then they'll bag and board it and put it, in a box.
That used to be one of my favorite mindless activities, was I would buy oversized cardboards and then cut them with a scissor to fit the board so that you could bounce a quarter off it.
Wow.
Used to love doing that. But then
imagine
David Lapham,
if you'd have been able to get a girl, though. You would have missed out on all of that.
Could you imagine? It would have been crazy. It would have been comic books.
So why'd
books.
You stop?
David Lapham from Stray Bullets gave me a bunch of books. And I was like, oh, dude, I got to get home and bag and board these. He's like, just read them and give them to somebody else. And I was like, what a great philosophy.
That was the first time it ever occurred to you?
Totally. I was like, why don't I just share it? So I stopped bagging and boarding that day.
Kevin Smith is here. We need to take a break. San Diego Convention Center is where the Comic-Con is, and Kevin's going to be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday pretty much on every panel that
but
exists.
But today's the big day.
Oh, today, I'm sorry. Today is a screening tonight at the, where is it? Arclight Hollywood.
Arclight. Sold out, so don't even tell them about that.
Okay, so I won't tell them about that. You interrupted me to say, but today's
Spaced?
The day.
Spaced is the screening.
Spaced is, we're screening Edgar Wright's show with Simon Pegg, this old British TV. It's not
brilliant
that old,
TV
but
show.
It's a fantastic show. It's finally out on DVD here. We're having a signing at Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, which is it now inside Laser Blazer on Pico.
Is Edgar and Simon going to be there to sign?
Edgar, Simon, and Jessica are going to be there signing from 12:30.
Here's the kind of power you wield. I saw that Spaced. I saw the TV show on DVD, and then I saw you had something to do with it or said it was good or something, so I bought it.
Did you?
That's the kind of power you wield.
I do three, I think, commentary tracks on it. Quentin does a commentary track or two, and a bunch of other people doing commentary tracks.
Who had nothing to do with the
show. Nothing to do with the
show,
just dudes who like the show.
Are you just doing commentary tracks for random?
I think that would be more interesting.
Yeah.
Just people chatting about whatever movie's there.
Kevin's on the Golden Girls Season 3 box set of DVDs for some reason. I can't understand, but he does a big chunk on B. Arthur.
Is that right?
I can't figure it out.
I called the Estelle Getty's dementia 20 years out. I was like, something's wrong.
That was sad. She died.
Yeah. But, you know, she didn't
But she died of dementia.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah, that's what it said at least.
She died crazy? Died of craziness?
I guess there must be some sort of symptom of dementia that eventually...
She tried to plug in her bathtub, apparently. That's what they said.
Right, we need to take a break.
Director Kevin Smith in the studio with us here this morning. He's got a million appearances coming up. All of them are sold out, so it's pointless really to mention them.
Not the signing. Let's mention the signing.
All right. The signing is going to be tonight at 9 o'clock.
No, this afternoon at 12. Wow, your guys are way off.
We don't have anything.
12:30 this afternoon.
Well, I don't even have that. I apologize. I just have the screening.
At Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash inside Laser Blazer, which is on Pico. Just a short drive from here.
Okay.
You've been a Laser Blazer?
Yeah, yeah.
Bestie.
And you mentioned that for all of the listeners who are here at K-Rock?
Yeah.
A short drive for them?
Everybody here. We're doing a signing. A signing of Edgar's Spaced box set.
And Simon Pegg will be here, I think, either tomorrow or Friday on the Kevin
Bean
Show.
He's coming in. Right on.
He's coming in, yeah. We love that dude. He's awesome. So, all right, 12:30 today.
Hot Fuzz.
Run, Fat Boy, Run. Very funny movie.
Something that was chanted at me when I was a child. And just recently, as I was walking in the building.
Chased you with bricks.
Yes.
Let me ask you about two movies, Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir.
First of all, Zach and Mary Make a Porno. You told us just a little bit off air that you are essentially done with it, but now you're fighting the ratings. Board? What's the progress on that?
We've been done with the flick for a while, but we now are, you know, found ourselves in a rating snafu. They rated the film NC-17. So we're going through that part of the process where you appeal it. You go and have an appeal screening, and hopefully you get the rating overturned without having to make a cut. Otherwise, then you got to make some cuts.
Does it feel like a real appeal now, whereas in years
like
past, they didn't have to...
the wind, dude. Like, you stand up in front of a crowd, you make your case. It's that and a cross with a little bit of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Because you just want to filibuster until you pass out.
Who are the people who get to decide? Who gets to decide? How many people are you standing in front of when you're pleading your case to make it an R-rated
instead? I think so far we have an audience of 13. That might go a little higher. But it's people made up of industry professionals. It's just not MPA people. Up until that point, the MPA rates your film. The appeals process, it's not MPA members. Members of the studio system and also members of NATO, the National Association of Theater Owners. Doesn't that sound impressive?
Yeah, like, NATO wasn't on this.
All right.
We're going to the UN in New York next week. It's that important.
Talk to the ambassador of Zimbabwe.
And they can overrule the ratings board, these people?
Yeah. Basically, that's what the appeal is. It's actually set up fairly well
in terms of,
like, you could have it overturned.
But you have to be 70 or older to be on the board, right?
It helps to be a little older, I guess. This is the third time we've had an appeal screening. We did it once on Clerks back in the day when that was rated NC-17. We had an appeal screening. They turned it over to an R without having to make a cut. And then, oddly enough, on Jersey Girl, they gave us an R the first time, which I don't know if you've ever seen it. Nobody has, but
do they just schedule?
So not an R movie.
Did they just schedule an appeals just for you when you have a movie coming down? They just
let's
put one on the books.
Here it comes.
But what I don't get is what is it? I mean, what could offend someone who's going to a Kevin Smith movie that you would put in the movie? I mean, you're basically making the movie that your audience wants to see, right?
Totally. I don't know. I feel like they paid a little more attention to this one because it has the word porno in the title.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
And also, you know what? Seth Rogen's in it, so they're like, well, people are actually going to see this one. So we have to protect the audience from what's in there.
And Smith did a donkey show.
That's true.
So we got to watch out for him. Right. Who knows what he's going to try to slip past us this time.
They gave us an R without argument whatsoever. First time they gave us an R in Clerks 2, and I thought for sure with that donkey show. Like, I was really scared we were going to have to cut it. But they gave us another.
It was the funniest donkey show ever filmed, by the way.
Thank you.
I wish you would have cut a little of it. I got to be
honest.
There's
only two others.
It's stuck right there in my mind. I can't cut it out.
The competition was weak, though. It was Bachelor Party and Godfather 2.
It's true.
The only other donkey shows on film.
All right. So, Zach and Mary doesn't come out till October.
October 31st.
Let's also talk about, since you're here and we have to know, are you as in love with the Batman as the rest of us are?
The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight, sir? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it twice.
As a director,
already.
When you watch something like that, do you think, I couldn't do that? Or do you think, wow, I wish I could have done that?
No, I think I couldn't do that. I watch that and I'm just like, oh, I'm so glad somebody did it.
Can you watch it as a fan, or do you see all that technical stuff? You can't. You don't think as it's going.
No, that's beyond me. Might be.
How can you not
though
think? Hey, I wonder how he did that.
A child watching, C-SPAN.
Right.
Like I can't sit there and go, like, I'm one of them. Like one day I'll grow up to be a human being adult. I just watch it like this is insane. I can't comprehend how this is done.
It's magic.
Yeah, Batman lives. Oh, I loved it. I saw it at a press screening out here on IMAX screen, and then I was back east last week and I went to the New York premiere. It's dope. I gotta watch my language. You heard it coming out, didn't you? Whenever I talk about it, I get very obscene.
Is it too long, Kevin?
No.
Is it too long?
Not long enough. Add another half hour.
Really? Interesting.
I loved it. I could have watched 2 more hours of that movie. So dark, bleak, and wonderful.
I loved that part about it, too.
Oh, my God. It's like watching The Empire Strikes Back mixed up with Godfather 2. It's the second time we mentioned Godfather 2
in the span of 2 minutes.
And Scorsese, Coppola mentioned you twice when he was in last time.
Right, oddly enough. Like, you know who really sucks?
He said Apocalypse Now is kind of like Clerks 2 for me. That's what he said.
Same diff. Oh, I love Dark Knight so much. It was so awesome.
Let me ask you a question.
Has everyone seen it in the room?
Yeah, I saw it.
I believe so.
You didn't see it yet?
Yeah, it's all right. No, it's all right. Don't worry about him.
I thought it was great, and I think it is, for what it is, maybe one of the best comic book movies ever.
Yeah, I think the best.
But as a longtime fan, like me, and like I said, I'm enjoying talking comics because this is the only time these guys let me do it is when you're here. But don't you feel that the comic industry as a whole, with these types of films and with the books themselves, are sort of aging themselves out of the next generation of comic book fans? Are we losing kids who... You and I started reading comics when we were 9 or 10 or whatever.
Right.
And that's why we grew up following this stuff along. But now they're just making it for us. And I think there's a whole generation of kids who are never going to get turned on to this kind of stuff.
Good. Screw them.
You mean because little kids won't go to see this because it's too dark?
Well, they can't. I mean, obviously, it's not for kids. And
well,
a lot
that's what
of, and
I'm
the
curious
comic,
about.
There was a kid in my screening that started, the very first scene of that movie started screaming. I was like, what?
It's not right.
What's going on here?
And the comics now are not written for kids anymore. They're written for adult fans. And I just think that they are aging themselves out of, you know, the next generation of
but
kids who will grow up to enjoy
that
this.
Since Watchmen and Dark Knight, that's when that turn started to happen.
Yeah, I know.
And as a guy who owns 2 comic book stores on both sides of this great nation of ours, you rarely see a child in there.
Yeah.
It's always dudes that look like me.
But isn't that
dudes
a whole...
who can't get laid walking through a comic book store.
But isn't that a whole generation of kids that now won't get beaten up?
Probably.
Yes. Yeah.
But what are they like?
So
instead? I mean, think about it. When you were younger... Your options were limited. You had comic books.
TV.
You had 3 channels of television,
right.
2 if you count the syndicated networks. And then you could go to the movies on the weekends. Why would you now, a child in the 21st century, why would you read about Batman when you could just go on YouTube and watch online porn?
That's an excellent point.
Go online and just look at pornography. Who cares about dudes in tights? It's like, look what this woman can do. Look what she's putting in where.
And if you take one thing away from today's Kevin and Bean Show, it's that, kids. Watch porn.
Watch YouTube porn.
Leave comic books for the adults.
That's what we're saying.
Adults who look back at their lives, feel like failures, and like, I wish I'd become a superhero.
12:30 this afternoon at the Jay and Silent Bob Secret Stash. That's on Pico Boulevard. Inside what again, Kevin? Where
Laser Blazer. The greatest DVD store on the planet, sir.
Okay, and that's at 12:30, and you're going to be there, and Simon Pegg is going to be there. And,
Edgar Wright, Jessica.
Jessica, Stevenson. All from space. And the screening tonight is sold out, but the signing is free and open to the public. So come
I don't
on
know
down.
If it's – I'm pretty sure it's sold out because I got an email from Edgar last night going, hey, if you have any spare seats, you want to let them go for fans and stuff. And
oh, like, well, tonight at 7 o'clock if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
And then
go
you're
on
doing
the website, ArcLightCinemas.com. I'm sure they have all the information.
And then are you doing a Q&A after that? Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to moderate a Q&A with them. Hopefully,
I sense that you do a Q&A if you go to Denny's for dinner. I sense that you get up before you leave and go, all right, before I go, any questions?
I was like, let's talk about the moons over my hammy.
So Thursday at 4:45, you're going to be doing one in San Diego, and then Friday at 5:15, and then Friday at 6:30, and then Saturday at 2:15.
I'm all over Comic-Con.
Yes, you are.
Wow.
Like a dirty, cheap suit. But we're going to show some Zach and Miri at the panel, at the 6:30 panel on Friday.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
All right.
Kevin, we never have enough time with you, but...
I know. So glad you had me on, though, at all.
Come back in October when the movie comes out. We'll chat again.
I'm not going to come back before then.
All right, one last thing.
I'm having a garage sale. Can I come on to promote it?
One last thing. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Gyllenhaal in the movie? Fine, but that character didn't really matter to me that much.
Because she's a chick?
Not even that she's
You're
a chick.
You're all about
she's
dudes?
Just not, I love dudes. I love them so much. She's just not deeply enmeshed in the mythos. That's a very recently
created
character.
Oh, yeah, I don't really care
about
that. Okay.
So I didn't But I thought she did a fine job.
Kevin asks because...
No, she's a fine actress, but I just
Kevin asks because he doesn't think she's hot enough for both of those guys to be pursuing at the same time. And we argue that she's a total package. She's cute, but she's smart, and she's funny, and she's got a great personality. Kevin says not hot enough to play the role.
I forget who it was. Maybe it was online. It might have been... You ever been to that site, What Would Tyler Durden
Do? Sure. Of course, yeah.
I think he had a... There was a photo of three women who are in comic book movies this summer on USA Today, and it was Maggie Gyllenhaal, Gwyneth Paltrow for Iron Man, and Liv Tyler for Incredible Hulk. And the dude, like, spent three sentences talking about Maggie Gyllenhaal, saying, like, look at her. She doesn't belong in that photo. She looks like a sad cartoon turtle. And it was so, like, laser sharp that every time I see her now, all I can think about is the sad turtle.
So you're siding with me, then.
But I thought she was good in the movie, though.
She's a good actress.
But that character I didn't care for.
All right.
Anybody could have played that character, and I would have been like,
could I have played that character?
In a wig?
Yes. Totally.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
12:30 today and then all weekend.
Get your summer body now. Hurry and get your free two-week pass to Bally Total Fitness, a $29 value. Stop by or call 1-800-FITNESS today. Must be at least 18. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 7/31/08. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
I asked Kevin to stick around because I like getting his take on the world of celebrities and stuff, since he hangs with them all. You know.
Can I just say real quickly that it sounds so easy when Lisa's like, get your summer body now. I'm like, all right. Why didn't anyone ever put it like that? I'll go out right now and get it.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have some tickets to give away to the advanced K-Rock screening of Step Brothers, the new comedy starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. You know Will, right? He worked with you.
He was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Funny man.
He was Marshall Willenhall.
He was Marshall Willenhall. And then he wound
and now
up
he's playing Marshall
in Land of the Lost. Isn't that ironic?
Yes.
I never understand what these two are talking about.
I don't either. I really just listen.
It's like listening to Martian, isn't it?
Might as well just...
Marshall,
I don't speak the language.
Will, and Holly were characters. Three characters from a great Saturday morning...
Land of the Lost.
Marshall,
Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
Yes. I fear that it'll take too long to catch me up.
But you know, Crofton,
Croft, yes.
Very good. There we go. Anyway, they did a Saturday morning show, right, about Land of the Lost. Now, and the character that Will played in Kevin's movie was a federal marshal named Marshall... Willenhall was his last name.
That is the extent of my cleverness right there.
And now Will is playing the character of Marshall in the big big screen version of Land of the Lost. Mm-hmm.
See how it all Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Now, that could have been my trivia question, actually. I could have been.
Yes, you could have for tickets, but it wasn't. No.
Lots of people turning their radios off.
That happens a lot.
They're babbling.
Will's father, Lee Ferrell, was a longtime keyboardist and saxophonist for a famous rock pop music act for many, many years. Big in the 60s, but have been were around for many, many years. If you know the answer to what band Will's dad was with, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First caller through with the correct answer gets a pair of tickets to see the advanced screening of Step Brothers. It's just that simple. Christian Bale's had a bad week.
Yep. Yeah.
He got popped in London for allegedly assaulting his mom and his sister. Did you hear that story?
I did, but then I read that it's not...
Apparently, they it was like a family argument, and
right,
someone was brushed up against.
And then he went in the next day and
answered all questions,
and then he left.
Yeah. But his mom and his sister apparently ratted him out to the cops. They went to the cops and said he roughed us up.
What do you think that's about?
We talked to Harvey Levin earlier this morning. He insinuated that he was going to put another article on TMZ about how his mom is
gone bye-bye.
Do you think like they went to the premiere and were like, give us some money, Christian? And he's like, get out of here. It's my night.
We don't have tickets for the after party.
We want to see the Batman. That's a shame, man. Family laundry, getting out there, dirty laundry like that. And the dude, it's his moment.
Yeah.
Yep. He is the Dark Knight, and he's got to be like, yeah, I got in a fight with my mom and sister, and the cops got involved. That's such a shame.
Well, the pressure's getting to him, apparently, because there was a big battle on the set of Terminator 4, where he's currently shooting that film in New Mexico.
Apparently, the director of cinematography, a Shane Hurlbutt.
Yes.
Really? That's his name?
Hurlbutt.
Screwed up a shot in Lethal Christian's point of view, and he went ballistic, screaming in front of extras and military police, I will kick your ass.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy that story. Is it on TMZ?
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy that story.
They say witnesses were there to witness.
Yeah.
Unless
that's
there
what
was
witnesses
a,
do.
Wait a minute. Witnesses were there to witness?
Yeah. That happens sometimes.
But apparently Bale was having an extremely bad day and was very tired, they said, so he might have just been a little
Or
cranky.
It might have been a case of, like, an insanely difficult stunt or harness
thinking.
Piece
yeah.
where he's like, I don't want to have to do this twice.
He's chafing,
dude.
And he yeah. wants to get this done.
Totally. He's like, my nards are up in my throat.
Have you ever had an actor go off on you on a set?
Never.
Your set seemed pretty jovial and kind of good times.
Very mellow
set. So you've never had anybody
They don't
snap.
Have harnesses.
I mean,
on.
I've had,
no
like,
screaming matches?
No screaming matches. I've had people, like... give me the silent treatment, which is always weird. Try to direct somebody who's giving you the silent treatment.
Oh, really?
But nobody's ever been like, you're an AH. OMFG. Speaking in text.
LOL.
LOL.
Are you directing Gossip Girl? I heard Elizabeth Banks kicked you in the nards. That's what I heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did.
And rightly so. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have Michelle in Anaheim. Hi, Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle, what band did Will Ferrell's dad, Lee, work for many, many years?
It's the Righteous Brothers.
Toured with the Righteous Brothers for years.
Excellent use of Wikipedia.
Yeah, where did you find that out, Michelle? Did you know it or did you look it up?
I found it in my head.
I found it in your head.
Oh.
Yes.
It's a scary place in there.
That's what I call my laptop.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details, but you're going to see the advanced screening Thursday night.
She won something.
She did. She won something for that.
How about that?
Hayden Panettiere is homesick.
Uh-oh.
As I told you, the 18-year-old just purchased a $4 million home in the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
Right? That's what I did when I was 18. When I wanted to get out of the house, I just picked myself up a $4 million home.
At 18, I got really drunk and vomited in my best friend's sister's bedroom for
3 hours straight. This broad's buying a home. Yeah. Big, expensive homes. I'm such a loser.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same life.
Apparently, she gets lonely in that new giant home.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes, please.
And she's lost my number, apparently, so she calls, she calls her parents who come to visit because they live right down the street.
Where's her 45-year-old boyfriend, Milo Ventimiglia?
He's
What's going on with him?
45. He's like
well, whatever he is. He's way older than she is, though. But
right.
are they not together anymore?
They
How lonely can she
dating,
be?
But they're not living together. So I'm sure there's moments where she wants some company. You still involved with Origins? Heroes Origins?
No, they canceled that.
Oh, they're not doing it?
Once you were supposed to strike the first when one, the right? strike, yeah, when the strike kicked in, NBC was like, forget you guys. We're not doing Heroes Origins.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was kind of punishment, I think, for the striking writers.
I got you. And lastly,
who
Jen.
Went, oh, who went, Oh.
I did.
That was genius.
You mean
oh,
when
you
we
mean
were talking
for
about
Aids?
Her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He makes that noise anytime
so
we talk about a hot chick.
Genius. I'm still chuckling inside.
Speaking of hot chicks who have been in comic book movies, Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. Now, see.
Who, of course, was Betty Ross in the original Hulk with Eric Bana. She has just got a new gig. She will be joining the models who work for Revlon.
That's so hot.
According to the story, she will be in an upcoming global advertising campaign and be involved in different
Remember things. She was in the hot stuff?
Oh, hot do spot. We ever.
The hot spot.
Hot spot.
Remember
Don Johnson's
yes.
greatest work
and
her and
her girls.
Nudity.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
another movie, too. I think Mulholland Falls. She
yeah.
Oh, that's there. Right.
She'll be modeling for Revlon
she was
makeup.
In Little Children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And awesome in that movie. And that movie is so insanely awesome. I watch that at least once a month.
Do you really?
I do. Which makes me even more pumped. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do.
For The Watchmen. Have you seen The Watchmen trailer?
I have.
How dope is it?
It looks like
does
the
Does it
best...
make you want to quit your job?
It does.
just wait for it?
And just
really?
Sit in but your I... house and wait till that movie comes out?
But I don't
out?
Know anything about The Watchmen, but
see, that's
it
perfect.
Looked awesome.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You don't know anything because you represent, you know, most of the people. They've sold 7 million copies of that book thus
yeah,
far.
Right.
And climbing.
Wow.
But they have to hit people like you. And if they're
it
hitting people
great.
Like you... There is that trailer's religion to me.
It
oh,
is.
That movie
amazing.
Looks so good. And he's got two people from Little Children. And he's got the dude playing Night Owl.
Right.
He was in Little Children. And then
Patrick Wilson.
Jackie
yes.
Earl
and
Haley,
then Jackie
too.
Jackie Earl right? Haley as yeah. well.
Right.
Anyway, Jennifer Lopez hopefully will be modeling Revlon's new nipple rouge.
Wait.
That's what I've heard.
Really?
So, yeah, I'll be looking
Lopez
forward
or Connelly?
What'd I say?
You said Lopez.
You said Lopez. I meant Jennifer Connelly, of course.
You got all excited about Watchmen as well.
I did. Yeah. Playing it in my head. I suggested he read the book. You think she read it or should just go to the movie?
You should read the book.
That's
the book is one of the best books ever. You know, it's on Time Magazine's top 100 books of all time, not
How
just
many
comic
pages?
Books.
How many pages?
A lot of pictures?
Well, it's 28 pages per issue. There's 12 issues. I cannot do the math this early.
That's way too much for Kevin.
Kevin, yeah, you already.
No,
28's already too much.
But it's a lot
is
of
it really?
Pictures. There's a
but
lot
you can
of pictures.
Do it, you can do it between now and the time the movie comes out. You can read like a page a night.
Maybe it's a challenge, but I can try.
Have your wife read it too before she tucks you in, before you go to bed every night.
Dude, it's got pictures.
The better idea.
When we last
left off, ooh, Dr. Manhattan was really angry. Let's see what happens.
John Osterman had just been blasted, and he's turned into Dr. Manhattan.
Today's celebrity birthdays, a lot of them. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter movies, of course, 19 years old today. Talk about rich and young.
Yeah.
Makes me sad. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That dude was good on Extras.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, right. It was funny on that episode.
The condom.
Yes.
Lands on what, Judy Dench's head or something?
Oh, man.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's 41. Slash from Velvet Revolver's 43. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode turns 47. Woody Harrelson also turns 47. And Larry Minetti, as I've been mentioning all day, the most important birthday day, who played Rick on Magnum P.I. Turns 61. Why don't you direct the big screen version of Magnum?
I was just going to say, why haven't they made that into a
They've been talking about it for years.
That's an easy transition.
I see you as Magnum.
No way.
Muse as TC.
You see me drinking a Magnum, watching that movie. I could never do it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We haven't always been this fearful of sharks.
Speak for yourself. I've always been afraid of sharks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shark Week returns on Discovery Channel this Sunday. It is one of the most anticipated weeks of the year for television viewers like us, and we are so excited to welcome Les Stroud to the studios of the world-famous Turek. He is, of course, Survivor Man and the host of Shark Week on Discovery. Hey, Les.
Hey, thanks.
We were talking about your show earlier this morning, and we were, and I'm sure you are too, amazed that every year they're able to come up with another Shark Week. How can there be anything left to say about sharks that's new?
Because, well, sharks are one of those things, right? They're so mysterious. They occupy that world that we can't be in. They're under the waves. We can only go there for a short visit. So it's still, no matter which way you slice it, you know, no matter what way you look at it, it's still kind of freaky to think that's a whole world we can hardly, barely even touch, and there's this big behemoth down there
in
all sorts of forms. So no matter what, the fascination is just not going to die.
And you can't, like, see it coming most of the time.
That's
it's
right.
Just that scary. A lot of, if you're surfing or something, you can't see anything under the water for the most part, especially off the coast here. But
yeah, and if you do see it coming.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's even worse.
That's almost worse, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I do know how rare shark attacks are if you add up the numbers of people in the water and the numbers of sharks in the world. I mean, I know that statistically the chances of being bit are pretty low. But it seems like this year there have been more than usual. Am I wrong about that?
Well, you know, I mean, media, right? It's really hard to tell, and it's always a sensational thing.
Are the
how
sharks
much
angry?
Going to it.
That's our question.
They're,
are they mad at us?
They're mad as hell, and they ain't going to take this
anymore.
This
time it's personal. I have a friend who is a tough. He's a badass, and he used to surf all the time. But he swears that a shark bumped up against his foot one time.
Yeah.
12 years ago.
Well,
and won't go in the ocean right off of California here. Ever.
Yeah,
he won't touch his foot in it.
If you think about it, the millions and millions and millions of hours that naked human bodies spend in the water, you know, or semi-naked bodies spend in the water, and all the sharks there and the frequency attacks, it's just like...
It's nothing, I know.
It's like bear attacks, same thing, or cougar. It's so minuscule if you do the math, you know, as compared to getting struck by lightning or stung by bees or hit by cars, way worse.
But you see that woman from a couple years ago here in California who lost an arm to the shark. It's not too random for her. I mean,
no, well, you know what it is?
Does happen.
It's sensational, right? When it happens. I mean, we're used to car accidents. We're used to that. But when a shark attack happens, man, it's sensational. Somebody's got an arm taken off. Someone's got a leg taken off. Someone was eaten. You know, a couple of divers in Australia were down, experienced divers. Great White came in. Took one guy, and he was never seen again. He just came in, took him, and left.
That is not what you want.
How many years have you been hosting Shark Week, Les?
This is my second year, and I'm hoping to do a third year coming up very soon in January. Next January, start shooting another one. And I love it. I mean, I grew up a big fan of Jacques Cousteau, so for me, when I got the call to do Shark Week, I was all over that. I mean, it's a great series. And, you know, the whole thing about the attack versus the non-attack, I mean, it's one of those things. They have, just like a grizzly bear, they have and do attack on occasion. So
right.
We tend to focus on that. But the rest of it, like you asked, like all the stuff, what is there to know that we don't know yet? It's just this whole world of information we don't know, and that makes it fun.
Now, it starts Sunday night with Mythbusters, and then your show is Monday. Surviving Sharks is the name of it. You're going to tell us how to poke them in the eye or whatever?
Yeah, well, you
when
know,
they attack? We need to take a break, but when we come back, I want you to tell me a little bit more about surviving sharks, because those two words don't seem like they should ever be together.
Spear fishermen instantly become vulnerable to shark attacks once they've speared their prey, as sharks can sense blood and distress signals from a wounded fish up to a mile away.
He swam into me, and I sort of pushed my body out the way, and then he got hold of my arm.
It was a 12-foot bull shark, and it was now pulling him through the water. with his right arm in its mouth.
Okay. All right.
Are you in or you're out, Kevin?
All right, then. That's how you picture it, though, isn't it? Your leg or your arm, and then it just drags you through the ocean until you're dead.
Les Stroud is in the studio. He is, of course, Survivor Man on the Discovery Channel, and he is also your friendly host for Shark Week. Now, your episode is Monday night, I guess. Monday is the one that you're hosting, but, of course, there's Shark Week programming every day starting Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's called Surviving right. Sharks, and we basically took a look at if it happened, if the unthinkable, if the encounter happens, how do you deal with it? And so we basically took me and threw me into each situation and said, okay, so deal with it.
They threw you in each situation. What does that mean?
Well, for example, okay, this one actually kind of freaked me out when we did it. It was, all right, so what is it better to do? Swim really fast for the boat or stay motionless? What
that's,
do you do?
That's a good question. You hear both.
You surface, and meanwhile, and so we did it, and we had tiger sharks and lemon sharks in the water. So I did this. Okay, so now, and I'm talking to the camera, right? So now I'm going to try, you know, my staying still, and I did my staying still, not much happened. Now I'm going to try my thrashing, right? So, and I start splashing and
swimming.
You're
doing this with live sharks in the ocean?
Well, feet from me, yeah. They were right there. We had a whole bunch of lemon sharks.
Well, that's not smart. Wouldn't really work.
Well, I'm saying, as soon as we did it, right, I start splashing. And there was a collective gasp on the boat because instantly about an 8 or 9 foot lemon shark just shot right towards me.
Ooh.
And I didn't know. I was only doing it for a few seconds to make the cut, right? Show that this is what you should not do.
Right.
And it was apparently really what you should not do.
And they freaked out and said, stop doing that right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
So what did they do with you, Les? Did they pull you out or something?
Well, the shark didn't. He just came right
he
by and sort of did the graze right by. Because
right.
they've got to do that first. They're not like a German shepherd running out of a junkyard. You know, they don't just instantly lunge at you sort of thing. They got to check you out. Remember, a shark's
sniff
a predator,
your butt?
Man. Sniff your butt.
Like
do
dogs.
The whole thing.
So you're supposed to stay still. You're not supposed to splash around.
Well, it depends on the situation, but staying
okay,
still
wait a minute. Basically. What are the other, dude? I mean, how
exactly.
are we supposed to know?
It's like when you face a grizzly. Like, which do you do? Do you play dead? Do you run? Do you climb a tree? It all depends on the grizzly. It all depends on the shark.
But
you're better to be cool. Calm, cool, collected. Good way
okay,
better.
So let me ask you this then, because Kevin told his story earlier this morning of the shark encounter that he had. He actually was out in the water, saw a shark. He was so scared he peed involuntarily. Does that help him or hurt him?
Well, I'm not going to be a tasty meal. If that's going to happen, I'm going to make it bad.
Of course, you just invited them by ringing the dinner bell by letting you know because you peed. And
really?
So that's a distress signal. And they go, hey, someone's scared over there.
Really? Well,
move in, boys.
It wasn't voluntary. No, I saw a shark. It was, I don't know what kind. I'm not an expert or whatever. Yeah. And it was just, and it didn't care about me and just swam away. But I was scared to death.
Even if it was a great white, it doesn't want you. Not really. Most sharks, almost all sharks are accidental predators, except, you know, I still say great whites. They're so big. They're busts. It's just it's not the length. You know, I was with the 18-foot great whites, and it was phenomenal to see them, right?
Right.
It's not the length, and I know this is radio, but I'm showing you the girth. I mean, as far
that's
as
what
I
she said, right?
Arms,
that's what she
that's
said.
That's the girth like, of this
six
shark.
Feet apart?
That's like
thick?
A Volkswagen. It's, yeah, it's huge. Massive. And
wow.
You realize, okay, so this dude could basically swallow me whole. All right, no
that's what
here.
She said.
All right, sorry.
Knew I was going to walk.
So they
continue.
Can swallow you whole.
Well, but the great
what are you talking
are
about?
Rich.
Accidental feeders.
So are you just sort of on the way? I mean, they just scoop you up on the way to something else.
They don't
well,
even know.
No,
it.
No. I mean, like with no, they really don't want you. What
they want
is fish.
Seal, right?
They want fish and seal. That's all they really want.
Well, why do they make those mistakes then?
Because you look like a seal.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're playing in their territory. I mean, what? You're just this gangly sort of pink piece of flesh doing, you know, with the rubber on.
Man, oh man.
Stop, you guys.
Don't go
again.
There. Don't go there.
You're going
how
there.
About, always go there.
How about if seal himself went in the water? Would that be confusing for them, or how would they handle that?
Depends on whether or not he sang.
Let me ask you, and I know, well, maybe you are an expert. I was going to say, you're probably not a shark expert, but by now maybe you are. True or false that that sharks don't sleep, that they're awake all the time?
It depends on the species. My understanding from talking to the shark experts is that they have a method of sleeping. I'm sure you're going to get calls from all the shark biologists now.
Sorry, we'll
I'm trying to remember. We went through this because I sat on the boat when I talked about that, and we talked about dolphins at the same time, and it was about one of the two species closes one eye.
One
actually,
eye?
Yeah, I think I you know what? I'm pulling
like they're
it
half asleep and half awake? Is that
yeah,
the thing?
Half the brain sleeps and then the other half the brain sleeps.
No
now,
kidding.
I can't remember if that goes into sharks or not.
Maybe
that's,
sharks.
That's
okay.
BS
isn't that
right
wild?
There. Yeah.
And
hey,
sleep or
don't. How do you figure that out?
Yeah.
I mean, what, and they never stop swimming? Is that also true or is that false?
They
really?
Got to keep moving. Yeah. Well, you've got to
and
keep
and why
oxygen,
is that? Why?
Oxygen flowing through, right? They've got to keep moving.
Right.
Oh, so they won't be able to breathe unless they're moving through the water.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, last question.
What if they find a place where the water's moving quickly? Can they just lay there?
Just hold there like surfing on a wave, yeah. Actually, yes, they can.
They can because they can.
I've seen fish do that as well.
All right.
They just hold still.
All right, last dork question. True or false that sharks don't get cancer, and that's one of the reasons they're being looked into as unlocking a cure potentially for that disease?
Yeah, I heard true, and that comes from a couple of shark biologists that I spoke with, but.
How about
fascinating creatures, aren't they?
Now, it's intense, you know. I mean, again, they occupy that world. We can't, right? We're not allowed to go down there because we'll die.
Yeah, that's
so
correct.
We go down there with our little scuba tanks, and we get our 15, 20 minutes under the waves, and then along they come, and wow, and there's so much more we don't know that's going on down there, right. You know, so it's very cool.
Now, you told us stay still, don't splash around. What about if they bite you? Because I've heard everyone says the same thing, and then I punch it in the nose and it let go.
Well, the thing is...
Or
like,
poke
remember
in the
what
eyes
I said
or
later about being a predator, or being an accidental predator?
Yeah.
It's because truly all those animals really want to do is eat fish and seal. They don't want you. So if they get you, it's kind of an accident. So the thing is, a predator, any kind of predator at all, it cannot allow itself to get injured. If a predator gets injured, it can't hunt. If a rabbit gets injured or is threatened, it can go and hide, come back and graze some more. If a wolf or a bear or a shark loses an eye, it's going to die. And it knows it. That's why they're so skittish and quick and turn away fast, because they really don't know what you're going to do to it. You know?
They're afraid of us.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Really?
They're interested, they're curious, and maybe your food, but for the most part, you show something. I mean, there are stories of, I know a woman that tweaked the nose of a massive grizzly bear, and he took off like a shot. He was attacking her. She tweaked his nose, and he went, whoa, haven't felt that before.
You
and
are just making that up.
I am not.
Come on.
As I'm sitting here.
You're not going to tweak the nose of a bear that's attacking you?
Well, try it with a shark, though.
Boop, right in the eyes.
Exactly.
It'll
go
away, let go.
Its eyes are really important, and its nose is really sensitive. So that's the method, really.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Try it.
I don't want to try it.
Shark Week starts Sunday on Discovery, and then Surviving Sharks, that Les hosts, is going to be Monday night at 9 o'clock. And then Survivor Man comes back when, Les, before we go?
Survivor Man comes back in November. I'm in the middle of production right now. I've got a big request to do some homegrown stuff, so I did Colorado by horseback.
Oh,
that
nice.
Was very cool. I spent the time on two horses. Sierra Nevada as a hiker, and then I go to Papua New Guinea and Australia, so some further, you know, some bigger stuff further afield, too. So
Can we talk to you again maybe around the time that comes back on? Maybe get caught up again?
Well, guaranteed. I got a book coming out in the fall with HarperCollins.
Awesome.
and the show at the same time, and then I go on tour.
The book is
tour, so it's all happening in the fall. I love
the book
back.
Is Survivor Man.
The book is called Survive, and it's basically it's a 90,000-word survival manual. How to get out anywhere alive.
That's awesome. By the way, I don't know if you heard this or not. Maybe he plays this clip all the time, but I was watching Letterman last night, and he played the clip again of you drinking your own pee. just so you know, that survives,
dude. You know that's not me. We went there.
It's not. I thought that was you.
That's Bear.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, yeah,
sorry.
Come on.
Sorry about that. Well, you need to drink your own pee too, then, apparently.
Can I have a recording of this when we leave here? You're recording this, right?
I blew it. I thought
I'm listening back, Bean.
They didn't say it. I thought it was you, and I'm sorry about that.
No, no, I showed the right way how to utilize your urine for pee.
Tell us the right way, then. What's the?
Well, you've got to distill it.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, you've got to just basically use it and distill it, and then you drink pure water as opposed to you don't. You do not drink, never drink your own pee.
All right.
Kevin, don't drink
That's
your
a good
pee.
Tip. That I can do. I cannot do that. That's something
that will
I can
take
do.
Away from
drinking
this morning's program.
That's
good advice. All right, Sunday night on Mythbusters, Shark Week special. That's a 2-hour special. And then Surviving Sharks is on Monday night at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. Les,
awesome.
We want to talk to you when your Survivor Man begins,
thanks.
Right?
Thanks. I'll come back. I
thanks
love
for coming. Sean Connery back in the news. I know you find this hard to believe. For a guy who's retired, it's amazing to me how much press he still gets. But his ex-wife, a woman that he divorced 37 years ago, guys, gave an interview this week and is saying some very uncomplimentary things about the Oscar winner.
Hmm. Yeah, she was saying that he has cut his son out of his will.
Oh, really?
Yep. Completely disavowed him. No, not a penny.
Kid together named Jason, who I guess does something in the movie business, and apparently it's very, very ugly, and he is, I understand, not pleased and kind of wants to set the record straight a little bit about what really went down, and I think we have Sean on the phone right now. Good morning, Mr. Connery.
Well, if it isn't the Dork Knight and the Choker. And by choker, I mean you choke on
well, I was afraid that's what
it goes
all
into
right.
And it makes you get.
John, I think we get it.
And you can't even imagine how much you choke when the starts.
Come on!
Then you're really get.
Sean!
Is there any way we can have a conversation just once with you, Mr. Connery, where you're not foul?
All right, let's do that.
All right, good.
All right, let's give it a try.
That is,
Well, Mr. Cottery, you may have heard while you were on hold, we were talking about this recent story. Your long-ago ex-wife, Diane, has been talking to the press. Do you have any comments about the remarks that we were sharing with the audience?
Diane Cliento is her name.
Mm-hmm. That's
we were
right.
Married back in the early 60s, and she's a
To be direct.
Yes, I call her Diane.
Really? That's quite a name.
That's my nickname for her.
What was the problem with your relationship? How come you guys divorced so long ago, if you recall?
Well, we found that we grew apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was also an actress. Her career wasn't going as well as mine.
Right.
And I think at a certain point, we just discovered that I wanted to f*** other p***.
No.
And so she couldn't get on board with that.
I see. Okay.
So I kicked her to the curb, girlfriend.
So what about what she's now saying about the son you two have together, about the bad blood, you cutting him out of the will, all that good stuff?
Yes, I'd read the articles where she said I cut Jason, my son, out of my will.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I used a foul word when talking to him, which,
right.
You know, isn't my way.
No, not
no, you.
No.
I believe she said I told him I would kill him if he changed his name.
Right, but you don't use that kind of language.
And I would never say that about Jason because I love him. He's of course, my son.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he's a
Come on.
But,
really?
But I don't hate the kid.
Okay, so you didn't disown him.
I don't judge people because they like in their
Okay.
Really?
I can't change that about him.
Right.
So why not just accept him for the that he is?
Okay. Okay. Well, so he's still in the will then?
Yes, he's still in the will, of course.
Okay.
I've taken care of not only my son, but Diane's daughter from another marriage. I've taken care of her at Trust Fund as well.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Okay.
That's what
All right.
thought.
Yeah.
And then she comes and tells these lies about me.
Yeah, that's
which usually when she's lying, it's with her legs for some troop of soldiers because she's a whore.
I didn't understand what that meant.
But I'll tell you, she was hot in her day. She's 74 years old now.
Right.
And I think that's why she's so angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because she used to be a nice piece of ass, and now she looks like a raisin.
Oh, God.
Well, Sean...
raisin.
Right.
That's true.
Do you feel that at 77, you have as much to offer in that department as you did 40 years ago?
Well, here's the unfair thing about nature. Men get better looking as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Women
mm-hmm.
become...
Come on, John.
Jesus Christ.
Come
Can
on.
You imagine a woman... Who loses her looks.
Yeah.
Then what do you have left? Blah, 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 blah. Talking all the time.
Oh my God.
No wonder they get murdered.
Oh, Sean, for God's sake.
What are you talking about?
What is wrong with you? Come on.
Sometimes women get murdered.
What is wrong with you?
And frankly.
Come on. We find that offensive.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, listen to Lisa May. Don't you want to kill her sometime?
No. No, she's just having a conversation. We're just talking. We're just colleagues.
That's what I mean.
Wow. They're like you, Sean.
I wonder what Diane got tired of.
When she talks, it's like someone pouring battery acid into my ears. While at the same time... me with a knitting needle.
Oh, man.
Ouch. Wow.
A little extreme.
Can I come in the studio and kill her?
You no.
cannot.
No,
I
you're not.
I will beat her to death with my...
Not welcome.
Okay. All right. I think at this point, we're going to say goodbye.
And bludgeon her with the of my juicy
Oh.
So all right, Mr. Cottery. We must go now, but thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
KRQ FM passing to Los Angeles. In fact, Ralph is here with the final showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, we have more details... allegedly, about what happened between Christian Bale, his mom, and his sister.
Threesome?
Oh, stop. Man.
I'm just speculating. I don't know, man.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Facts are coming in from several sources close to Bale, saying that here's what happened. His mother and sister showed up uninvited to the actor's hotel.
Uh-oh.
Some accounts have them being inebriated.
Oh.
Some accounts have them asking for money from Mr. Bale in an inebriated state.
Just screaming, give us money?
More or less.
Give us money.
Like that?
Maybe they were out of booze money. I know I get angry when I can't drink anymore when I'm broke.
So he beat them?
No. Listen, shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
I'm just asking. An argument ensued. By all accounts, Bale had it pretty much under control until his mother started bad-mouthing his wife.
Bad-mouthing Christian Bale's wife.
Yes, that's according to the New York Daily News. His mother was saying some very outrageous things about his wife, and that's when he pretty much lost his temper, started shouting back, and then tried to walk away from the situation and made some sort of physical contact. It sounds like it was a brush past her, maybe, you know, nudged her as he was going past, but pretty much that was the extent of it.
She didn't fall, she didn't get hurt.
No.
Wow.
So.
That doesn't sound like it's worthy of an arrest, but as Harvey from TMZ told us earlier this morning, the police have to investigate if somebody calls and claims assault, I guess, but it sure doesn't sound like there's much there.
Christian's mother, Jenny, 61, a former circus clown, filed a police complaint against the actor on Monday.
Is that a joke?
No.
Circus clown.
And it seems to seems as if Scotland Yard may write this off as just an argument amongst family, and there will be no charges pressed, but we still don't know that for sure yet.
Did you say his mom was a circus clown?
What'd I say?
You said his mom was a circus clown.
Loud, proud, and black, I said it.
It's just not possible.
Well, it is, and it was.
Too good to be true.
And it shall be.
Well, he needs to just have Alfred rub them out or something, whatever he's got to do.
Just take care of it. Did she make him mad and then jump in a barrel?
No. Oh, it's not a rodeo clown. It's a circus clown.
Circus clown, sorry.
Circus clowns don't jump in barrels waiting for bulls to hit them.
I don't know what kind of clown
she
was.
Did she show up in a tiny little car with
Look, right now, Bale is not feeling too good about clowns, okay? He sees a white face and some red makeup around the lips and green hair. Makes him very nervous.
Sure.
So you can see why he reacted in a strong sense. Nelly's got a new girlfriend. Apparently, he wasn't too happy when his longtime girlfriend Ashante told a reporter they were just friends. So he's called things off with her, and he's moved on to Joss Stone.
Oh,
wow! That's the word that he's currently dating. Joss Stone,
strong.
I would take my Band-Aid off for her. That's how much. If I was Nelly, that's how excited I'd be.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Oh, my
God. Well, Nelly's lost a step.
Dating
white women.
He's been distracted.
This story comes to us by way of backseatcuddler.com. If you want the whole story, you can
that's
go there.
That's a website?
It is. That's who gives us that story. So there you go. And Daily Variety says Sacha Baron Cohen has finished shooting Bruno. He's finished with that film, and he's looking for his next project. They say he is producing and may star in a new film called Accidentes, about a Latino ambulance-chasing personal injury lawyer.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever seen the ads on the back of the buses?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Accidentes. Call
Dos.
I don't remember.
It's always dos.
Dos. Yeah, apparently he's also attached to star in a new comedy for DreamWorks called Dinner for Schmucks, which I don't even know what's in it, but I'll buy tickets now.
He's the best. Or that's one of my favorite movies ever.
Speaking of movies, I've got tickets to give away to the special advanced super duper K-Rock screening of Step Brothers starring Will Ferrell and Johnny C. Reilly. It's Thursday night. You get to see it before the movie comes out on Friday. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Of course, both John and Will worked with Sacha Baron Cohen in a little film called Talladega Nights. So I want to ask you a little trivia question. This is a toughie, but I've got two pairs of tickets to give away here.
Oh.
So you got twice as much of a chance to get through it. 1-800-520-1067. And if you're you got the correct answer, you win a pair of tickets for two winners, okay? In the movie Talladega Nights, who were the sponsors for drivers Ricky Bobby, Cal Naughton Jr., and Jean Girard on the NASCAR circuit? Each of them had a major sponsor. It was all over their cars. Tell me who sponsored Ricky Bobby, Cal Naughton Jr., played by John C. Reilly, and Jean Girard, played by Sacha Baron Cohen.
I know that one of them was Christian Bale's circus clown mom.
No, that is not the case. I need the three companies who sponsored those dudes.
Call I the only one that's the best thing I've ever heard?
That she was a circus clown?
Yes.
Well, circus clowns have kids too, man.
It's funny.
Come on. It's not unusual.
It is unusual.
Don't say anything.
My mom's the opposite of a circus clown.
She's a mortician?
No, she just couldn't.
Try to think what the opposite of a circus clown would be.
I don't know.
It's kind of hard to come up with.
My mom.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Radcliffe is 19 years old today. Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't he too old to be Harry Potter now, though? 19?
I don't
book,
know.
In the books, Harry Potter only gets...
still in high school?
Yeah, grows up to be, I don't know, 16, 17?
He still looks young.
Yeah.
All right. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 28. Omar Epps turns 35. Marlon Wayans is 36 years old today.
Why are you...
Sorry.
The remix. Sorry. Alison Krauss turns 37. Charisma Carpenter.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
She's 38. It was silly how much Kevin Smith enjoyed your guttural sounds about hot chicks,
you know,
by the way.
In a week span, that's two incredibly funny, talented, and creative people that have complimented my noise.
And I was thinking, at the time, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen.
I thought I was saying, shut up, Smith, shut up. Because now, it's like, I'm like, we'll feed off of that for 2 years.
That's right.
Saying, you know
that's
how awesome
true.
I am? You remember those guys who loved me that one time
that's
I made a noise?
True.
I want you guys to give me a little pat on the back for how much I've tapered off the Christian Bale noise. Because I know that, you know, we're going to be mentioning him a lot lately, and he's in the news.
We're not going to give
you credit
back
for not doing bad things,
interrupting the show badly.
Whatever. Okay, I guess.
You get credit for that?
You are a hater of love.
I would like the police to reward me for not murdering people. I would like them to give me a reward because I haven't killed anyone.
I'm saying I'm holding back the genius.
But Mike, what you don't understand is, although Patton Oswalt and Kevin Smith may have enjoyed it, we get dozens of emails every week from people who threaten to never listen to K-Rock again and boycott our advertisers if you don't shut the F up.
Well,
all right, so you're still not breaking even, is what I'm saying.
There's thousands of members of Al-Qaeda. That's all I'm saying, too. There's a lot of people that are bad and wrong and should be put to death.
I don't know what that means. Okay, we have a winner for
you. Did you ever consider it was funny the first time you hear it? That for someone who's never heard it before, the first time they hear it, it may strike them as humorous, and then rapidly it drops off after that?
What? You have a lot of balls, Falco, and Room for J-Lo, and...
Yeah, but I do those because it's so bad, it's funny over and over and over again.
I can't compare the two, because mine's great, all around.
All right, let's move along instead and talk to Alan from Mission Viejo, who's going to answer...
I hate Alan. I don't want to talk to him.
No, you hate Mike.
He's going to answer Ralph's very, very difficult trivia question. Give it to us again, Ralph.
All right, who were the sponsors in Talladega Nights for Ricky Bobby, Cal Naughton Jr., and Jean Girard? Alan?
Okay. Gerard was Perrier water.
Perrier, very good. French, of course.
Ricky Bobby was Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread for Ricky Bobby.
And Cal Naughton Jr. was Old Spice.
Well done, sir. Well done. You have won yourself a pair of tickets to the advanced K-Rock screening of Step Brothers.
Right on.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
David in Lakewood is your second winner, so they're gone.
David, I like. Never cared for Alan, though.
I want a good movie.
Where did I leave off? Philip Seymour Hoffman's 41, Slash is 43, Martin Gore is 47, Woody Harrelson also 47, and Larry Minetti, Rick from Magnum PI, turned 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good news, bad news, by the way. Spencer and Heidi from the Hills are going to Iraq. That's the good news, I guess. The bad news is they're not going as combat soldiers, so there's a good chance they'll be back safely.
We got an
update from Spencer himself. We'll talk to him in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. You should do a singles party themed porn. Have adult stars perform at a singles party with real listeners as extras, and who knows, maybe some will join in.
Oh, I see. That's his suggestion for what we ought to do with the Hustler offer to make a Kevin and Bean porn movie. I got
exactly. And here's another one. This one's from Nathan in Springfield, Massachusetts. How about using Kevin and Bean gravy for your porn title?
Oh,
or make it some new, maybe, too.
I wanted to read this email from K-Rock listener Raul because we spend so much time, and everyone spends so much time, talking about how hard it is to lose weight. I mean, almost every single person says, yeah, I'd love to lose that last 10 pounds or 30 pounds or 80 pounds or whatever it is you got to lose, but it's impossible. I can't do it, right? Here's Raul, a guy who we talked to on the air a couple weeks ago just briefly, and I said, how'd you lose all that weight? And he sent me an email. Hey, guys, I was on the morning show today talking on the Psycho Body, and you guys said, how did you lose 30 pounds in 3 months? Well, here's all I did. I didn't eat bread and tortilla, rice, pasta, potatoes, those sorts of things. I don't drink soda. I ate no more than 4 ounces of chicken, beef, or pork at a time, ate all the veggies I could, no snacking, and I never ate twice within 4 hours. That's it. He makes it sound so simple. This guy was a big, giant fat ass. He lost 30 pounds in 3 months, and you look at it on paper and you go, well, anyone could do that, yet it seems to be virtually impossible for any of us to do. Why is that?
Plus, he forgot that he put his fingers down his throat every time after he ate.
Well, he didn't say that. But, I mean, when you look at it that way, doesn't it seem like if everyone followed that plan, they could lose all the weight that they talk about losing, yet none of us are able to do it, it seems like.
That is a really hard plan to follow. I mean, that's kind of how Mike eats now.
I don't think weight loss is a secret, but you're right. It's just people can't do it.
All the food you name that he stays away from is very convenient. It's all convenient food to eat and grab.
Right.
So that's the that's the major problem.
And I think it's also that you have to concentrate. Every single meal, every single day has to be right.
Too much work.
Yeah.
It's not like this guy's starving himself, though. I mean, you eat as many vegetables as you want, and you have a little piece of meat to go with. I mean, it's not like you're walking away.
Here's Pop-Tart boy who's never dieted in a day in his life. Oh, why don't you try that diet for a week and then get back to us?
I couldn't do it, but what I'm just saying is millions of Americans, maybe 100 million Americans, are obese at this point. Yet, something like this sounds so simple to do, but I guess it must be a lot harder than it looks.
I think so.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I heard about the retarded policeman on your show. When I got home from work today, I had to go watch them. This is at krock.com, Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup. They were so funny, I found myself watching every episode, but now my 5-year-old son is walking around the house singing the theme song. Oh. I'm not so sure that's a good thing.
No, it's not.
Probably isn't.
Bad, Kevin and Bean.
You do have to check out The Retarded Policeman at krock.com if you haven't seen it yet.
I like eggs. Do you like eggs?
It's pretty sweet. Dear Kevin and Bean, I have a simple question for you. It says, Ramin, why is Lisa May so damn hot? Thanks.
Aww.
I can't answer that. She just hit the genetic lottery, but I can tell you that Lisa May has a new website. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's lisamay.net. We have not yet talked her into installing shower cam, but I hope that that is coming later this summer. But in the meantime, there are pictures and there's audio and there's all
sorts of
cool stuff.
Did you take down the Megan Fox pictures?
I'm trying, but Matt won't do it.
Yes.
We hacked it when she first put it up and put a whole bunch of Megan Fox pictures up there.
They're still there.
Hey, everybody. A couple of weeks ago, you were reading an email or talking about Afro calls, and the subject of white pants equals backdoor came up.
Yes.
That apparently is a true thing. If a girl wears white pants, then that's what she's interested in. I never knew of this equation before, and now I take a mental note every time I see somebody wearing white pants. This led to a couple of questions I have. Maybe you guys know from experience or just know about the rule. Number one, does the rule apply to guys wearing white pants?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Mike hopes, but no, it does not. This is a female-only
rule. I don't know. You know any guys that wear white pants?
I don't. Maybe Mike does.
Number two, does that apply to other white items of clothing, such as skirt, dress, shorts, etc.? No, it does not.
Just
pants. Has to be pants. Number three, any shade of white, such as khaki or other off-white color?
He's hoping.
Just curious. Thanks for the info, Charlie and Burbank.
Like how white does it have to be before it counts as white?
Listen, white pants. That's all we know. We don't know.
Charlie.
White pants, back door. That's all we know.
Don't be so judgmental. You could use a little back door.
And finally, says Michael, my girlfriend and I see Rodney Bingenheimer from the world-famous Rodney on the Rock Sunday Night Show almost every day at the Gower Gulch. She doesn't know Rodney from his legitimate career. She's never heard him on the radio. She only knows of him from the sound bites that you guys play on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, about 2 months ago, she begged me to take her picture with him. We approached him. He was more than happy to take a picture with this girl. She's 5'3" and 96 pounds. I felt like she was going to crush him standing next to him in the photo. He appeared terrified. He was shaking like a leaf. It was great.
He is scared of people.
Please, guys, never stop clowning on Rodney. Sincerely, Michael.
So, we do not clown on Rodney.
Anyway, I got a song coming up that you might have heard on a TV commercial. Remember, I used to hang out with them at Canners with Kelly Ogden at Canners, and now they're doing TV commercials.
Who?
Featured in the Kohl's commercial. You check that out. It's been on TV a lot. You could see different girl groups playing that song with Kelly in the audience, and Kelly's up there singing with the Dolly Rots. And TV. You could see that on television.
Mm.
There's our boy.
Thank you, Rodney.
Mm-hmm. We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to get on the air for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. That's how it works. You call us. We put John, we give you a prize today. Robot Chicken, Star Wars DVD, on sale everywhere yesterday. Seth Green was in yesterday, creator of Robot Chicken. And he told us if they only sell 1 million DVDs, that's all we have to do is just sell 1 million DVDs, he's going to throw a big party for everyone.
In 1 week.
In 1 week.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. All right, let's start with Danny and Santa Ana. Good morning, Danny.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Danny?
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
I'm actually calling because I don't know when the ESPY Awards aired, but I got a chance to see it last night. Eli Manning, more retarded than that.
I think they were on Sunday night. He is a super mouth breather, isn't he? He just sits there.
It was even funnier when Justin Timberlake was talking about that he finally got a chance to see a girl naked. And he says, it's cool, isn't it? But yet again, he still didn't know what the heck was going on.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake was making a joke about how since he won the Super Bowl, he's also seen a girl naked. And he just, I mean, he just, the look in his eyes was so priceless because there was nothing there.
I like boobies.
Nothing. I'm sorry, what?
I like boobies.
Nothing was there. Nothing. Absolutely.
Yes, I won the Super Bowl.
You did win the Super Bowl, yes. Yes, Eli, you did.
That equals vagina.
And you like that too? Or just boobies?
I don't know.
All right. You haven't discovered that yet. All right. Mark in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I want to talk about Doc and how much of an idiot he is. I mean, the guy is so old that he can't even read.
Yeah.
I mean, he was talking about the Angels and the Dodgers this morning, how they both lost, but the Angels won yesterday.
Okay, but that's every other day that happens. Look, here's the thing about Doc. He doesn't care about sports. He just takes all of those words and throws them up in the air and reads them in any random order. It doesn't matter to him who plays or who wins or who loses.
Dude, I'm not kidding, Mark. The first 7,000 times he got sports scores wrong, we would say, oh, hey, Doc, by the way, you know, the Angels won yesterday. I don't know, you know, what you're looking at. Oh,
bad, my bad.
I think the FHA, the FHA or whatever, they should fine him.
The FHA.
I
should
too.
Fine him.
Yes, they should. FHA. I'm tired of them interfering with us.
Yes, they should.
And the FDIC, too. The FDIC's got to leave us alone.
I don't know. It does not seem that difficult to get the proper scores since we only have like 3 or 4 local teams total.
Right. Just get them out of the paper. They're always right in the paper. Never are they wrong. Just read them from there.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Dodgers won.
Jeffrey in Reseda. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean? Lisa May.
What'd it do?
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey. I was at the Coldplay concert, and during Viva La Vida, I turn around, and these two guys are getting in fights. They're breaking bottles and trying to shank each other.
I'm sorry.
And they just are sort of rolling down the stairs and stuff. It was just hilarious.
At Coldplay.
Strings are most peaceful song. What is that?
Oh, man.
At Coldplay. That is
funny. Maybe they just wanted to be close, and they couldn't think of any other way to do it, so they had to disguise it as a fight.
Hey, let's act like we're fighting.
Then we can hug and roll down the steps.
On top of that, they threw a bottle, and it winged out and it hit some chick in the head.
Oh great. Yeah, but you need to expect that. I mean, the pit goes off when Coldplay plays.
Man,
it's just crazy.
When they do that Violet Hill, look out, man. I'm telling you.
Just the place goes nuts.
You know how I know you're gay?
Yeah.
You like Coldplay.
Oh, come on.
Let's go to Tony and Tustin. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do, Tony?
What it do?
What's going on?
You guys are discussing the white pants issue where if a girl wears white pants, they take it in through the back door, right?
Yes.
He never said an age limit because I drive around by Disneyland. There's a bunch of tourists, old ladies who wear white pants.
Yeah, they love it.
It's hard for me to believe that these old ladies are taking it in through the outdoor.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
They love it.
They do.
Especially
the
old ones.
They love it more than anyone. It's just no one wants to give it to them. Thanks for the call. Listen, we don't know why the rule works. It just does.
Can't argue with it. Let's close with Dave in Pasadena. You're not going to believe this, guys. He's coming to the defense of old man Doc.
Dave?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Yeah, who's that punk on the phone? Come on. Doc's been doing the news forever.
He has, but... He has,
he's
but...
Man. It don't matter if he messes up. We all mess up in our profession.
Listen.
Leave him alone, let him do his thing.
Listen,
yeah!
I mess up more than anyone.
Yeah, Dave!
I mess up more than anyone.
Dave!
Doesn't it seem like sports scores, though, really aren't
that
hard?
That don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Life is what matters. What's going on in Beirut? What's going on in Lebanon? What's going on over in Iraq? That's what matters. It's serious news. That's what he does the best. That's
Word.
What he's there for.
Hey, Dave,
let me ask
you a question.
Dave!
Dave, what is going on in Beirut that's so important?
What's that?
What's going on in Beirut? You brought that up as example number one of what's important in the world. Tell me what's going on in Beirut.
Beirut, no, Lebanon, man. Everything's going on in Lebanon.
Oh, right. Beirut.
Oh, 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 oh,
Okay.
He got caught up in the spirit, that's all.
Dave!
It's just not that hard to say Angels 2, White Sox 1, or whatever the score is. That's all. That's our point. That's the only thing we were agreeing with in the caller, is just get the score right, because people care about that stuff. I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including the great Kevin Smith, for stopping by. He's got many, many things happening that are virtually sold out, but at 12:30 today, you can catch him at his comic book store, The Secret Stash on Pico. He's going to be there with the cast of the TV show Spaced, and they're going to be signing copies of that for you, and go on by and do that, won't you?
And also, thanks. The Secret Stash is inside Laser Blazer, so if you see the Laser Blazer the DVD store, that's where you go.
And go inside there.
Right. Okay. Yeah, good tip. Also, thanks to the Survivor Man, Les Stroud, for stopping by. New episodes of Survivor Man coming in the fall, but Shark Week is back on the Discovery Channel starting this Sunday night at 9, and his episode, Surviving Sharks, airs Monday night at 9. Sounds very entertaining.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to hook Bean up with a jetpack, finally, which will mean his death. And
This is the one we've been waiting for.
That's what I've been waiting for. The Bean's death part.
He has been waiting for a jetpack his whole life. Oh. And now, apparently, there's a dude who can sell it to him, and he will die.
He will look like a big balloon with the air let at the back, just flying around until he just hits a fir tree. It's going to be the best.
By the way, this jetpack, please come on back and listen tomorrow, because this jetpack is a new generation of jetpacks that apparently runs on regular gasoline, and you can fly for a half an hour. This is not the jetpack we've been talking about up till this point, which is like jet fuel in 30 seconds, okay? Yeah. So this could be the one, guys.
This is not your grandpa's jetpack. This is the one he's been flying around.
A pilot could fly it for 30 minutes. You're going to fly it for about 5, and you're going to plant yourself.
I am buying a jetpack.
I can't wait.
You all will be laughing when that's my chosen mode of transportation.
Remember the first time Tony Stark tries out the Iron Man armor in his lab?
Exactly, he flies into the wall?
That's exactly what Bean's
Yes, it is.
Like.
Tomorrow, your girlfriend or wife did something because Oprah told her to. She seems to be ruining all of our lives. We'll tell you about that.
Aww.
Simon Pegg will be in studio.
Oh, so funny.
Very
so talented.
Funny British actor. We have him in. Chris Carter will be in the studio.
Wow.
And we need to catch up on just exactly where we are in the X-Files thing, because I'm way confused.
Remember there was somebody living under the floorboards or something one time?
Ooh, yeah,
that one time?
There was that family. That's all
in the
really
movie.
Remember.
All I remember in the movie was there some kind of beehive.
Yeah.
And they all drank
black oil.
They drank oil.
I don't know.
Next thing you know, the day was a writer, and he was banging some chicks.
No, that was,
and then
that's Californication.
He had problems with his daughter.
That's a different show altogether.
Scully was living in England, in a bleak house, and they She was talking funny. It's just all confusing.
All right. So we'll have Chris explain it to us tomorrow. And your final chance to win tickets for the K-Rock screening of Step Brothers, which is going to be tomorrow night.
Great.
Weezer's new song is called Troublemaker. Latest from them on the way. Also Modest Mouse, Green Day, Bad Religion, Foo Fighters, and more. It's all part of 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock with the always delightful Cat Corbett next after this.